We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77.
WABC.
Sometimes you twist, always insist that you know way. Should I let go now? Would I even know how to anyway? And all that matters.
Yeah, another emotional day for me on this Wednesday hump day, beautiful morning in New York City. Good morning, New York. 6:31. Welcome back to the best talk show, not just in New York City, but anywhere in the country. We are Bernie and Sid in the morning on Talk Radio 77 WABC. That's a good tune right there. That is Orr is his last name. Stay the Night, a song from the 80s. Benjamin Orr, thank you. We've got a couple of really good guests today, but want to start to ease into things. Yes, Vladimir Putin just landed in Geneva, Switzerland, ahead of this big, epic meeting with Joe Biden, which somebody said to me yesterday, bro, it'll be like Tyson Spinks. It'll be the biggest mismatch you've ever seen, because certainly a lightweight like Joe Biden cannot handle himself in the ring with a real killer like Vladimir Putin. So the expectations from smart people are that Biden will once again embarrass himself and America today in this summit, and that Putin will own his ass. That's the expectations, Bernie.
Of course. I mean, do you expect anything different?
No.
Of course not. The guy is, a former KGB agent at the top of his game. And the other is an old drooling fool, just a mess, a complete and total mess. And they're gonna meet. I do understand that they're gonna sit down with their respective, foreign secretary in Putin's case, and in our case, it will be the Secretary of State. So they won't be. It won't be exactly one on one,
right?
But yes,
Tony Blinken is another lightweight. What good is that?
It's Mr. Magoo versus Darth Vader.
Yep, that's it.
I mean, it's perfect. And that's why they will not have the press conference afterwards together, because the imbecile will look so stupid, so silly. He'll get slapped around by Putin. You know, Putin will toy with him. Putin is a wise ass.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not a good guy either. But trust me when I tell you, he is what he is. And he represents Russia and... you know, what do you expect? He's Russian, okay? That's all you need to know.
Fox News, MSNBC, and CNN, all three right now have a video of the plane, the Russian plane. They all read, Putin arrives in Geneva for a summit. Summit starts soon. Now the door is open. They're actually bringing the taxi over so you can see Putin exit the plane. I mean, they're turning this into like this huge television moment, which I guess when nothing else is going on, I guess it is.
Well, remember when Trump met with Kim Jong-un?
That was a big deal.
That was a huge deal because there were tensions. And there were tensions between us, but... Biden just gave away the store with the pipeline, he stopped certain missile programs, he stopped missiles pointing towards Russia. He's already given concessions, so Putin's not really mad at him. You know, there's nothing really, they're not negotiating anything. I mean, cyber terrorism, yeah, the Russians did that to us. And they're not going to turn anybody over. They're not going to admit that they collaborate. They were complicit. None of that's going to happen. It's a waste of time. They're in Switzerland because it's neutral ground, but there's nothing on the table. I don't know what the hell they expect to come out of this.
All right, on a local front now, Catherine Garcia, as we speak, getting ready to campaign outside of her Brooklyn offices today. And she's kind of the one on the – I know Maya Wiley gets all the talk because she wants to take away guns from the cops. She got the endorsement from AOC. She went from being in like ninth place to fourth place in a hurry. But most of the polls that I see have Catherine Garcia – in second place behind Eric Adams and just ahead of Maya Wiley and Andrew Yang. I'm not sure why. I don't even know really, outside of the fact that she's Latino, what she stands for. But it does seem like Catherine Garcia has become a legitimate threat in this race for mayor.
Yeah, well, there's a New York Post article. Garcia tilts left, opposes quote-unquote force when it comes to the police. She's running to the left, as all politicians do, approaching a primary. A Democrat primary, they run to the left. Republican primary, traditionally, they run to the right. Not so much with Curtis and Fernando, but in the Democrat case, because Maya Wiley got such traction after the endorsement of the America haters, the Jew haters, Garcia is trying to get, you know, get some of those votes.
I wonder, and I know the New York Times wrote a piece about this morning, who will get the black vote? Will it be Eric Adams or will it be Maya Wiley?
See, just that is really shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that way. The black vote. It shouldn't be. We shouldn't be saying the black vote.
Well, we did
because blacks are not a monolith.
But we did do that with Donald Trump. Let's not forget. Well, he make it 12%. He make it 22%. So the black vote thing we use for Donald Trump all the time.
No, they use it for the Democrats. The Democrats get the black vote. They always get the black vote.
But no, Trump but we talked away. About how Donald Trump was going to do the best with the blacks of any Republican,
right,
and he
exactly.
Did.
He peeled away blacks from the Democrats, quote unquote, black vote. He historicized. On the part of Donald Trump. But who knows how black – there's so many black candidates running. Who knows? Who knows what people are thinking? People in the inner cities are afraid of crime. I mean, if you're going to tilt left on crime and hope to do well with the quote-unquote black vote, I would suspect that you're not going to do so well. And I would hope not because, you know, blacks are the ones that are suffering most from this explosion in crime in New York City.
It's a gorgeous Hump Day Wednesday, folks. Came in this morning. It was actually cool. It'll be sunny all day. Right? Nice. We've got two great guests. Really three because one act is two people. We'll get to those coming up momentarily.
Bro.
Seasons don't feel the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain.
I heard that, bro. I heard you drop that bro in there, Meanie, in
bro.
Amazing fashion. That bro comes from the legendary WFAN host Joe Beningo, who actually bro. Spent 2 years as my midday partner. He got his first ever day part working alongside me. I have been doing middays with Jody McDonald. Mark Chernoff came to me one day and said, what do you think about putting Beningo in the afternoon? And I said, why not? I love Jody, but give it a shot. And Beningo and I spent almost 2 years together. Then I was fired, of course, in 2005 because I'm an idiot. And that was the end of me and Beningo. He ended up working with Evan Roberts, and he did for the better part of about 15 years before he retired last year. But I know WFAN listeners really miss Beningo, his Met rants, his Jet rants, Knicks and Rangers rants. Today he'll be on the Bernie and Sid show making his debut. He will not be ranting on those things. We'll talk a little bit about sports with Joe, but he'll be ranting today instead about Trump, Biden, and the political state of this country.
One of my best prank phone calls came against, it was perpetrated on the very aforementioned Joe Beningo. I think the year was like 96, way before you even got into radio.
Although you got me with the same thing on the overnight show.
Antoine from the Bronx. What's up, Joe Beningo? Hey, you be talking about hockey, man. The only thing black in hockey is the puck. They be smacking that around, man. What's up with that? Hey, bro, I would never, what would I ever...
Yeah, well, what you did was you got Ray Martell, who was Beningo's producer and board op, to lock the phone. So when Joe and me, we both tried to hang up on you, you were Antoine with him, you were Jamal with me, we couldn't do it. And you're like, what's up with Jaromir Jagr, man, and Allen Houston? That brother got a lot of money. What you upset about? That was great. You were brilliant. So Joe Beningo will join us later on this morning, as well as, how about this?
Bro.
The return of Diamond and Silk. On the
bro.
Bernie and Sid show.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
That is one hell of a double header we have right there. They are both. Well, Joe Beningo's passionate. They are passionate as well. And they're very funny.
They're very funny.
As you know.
Yeah, they're great. So we got a huge guest list coming up later on today. Now, here, I guess, is where I'm lost. I thought COVID was over. I thought everybody came back to work. Then I see this story yesterday about Morgan Stanley, huge brokerage house. And they're, like, threatening their workers. Are you telling me there is still a ton of people, Bernie McGurk, a ton of people that don't want to come to work still?
Yeah, a lot of people. people like working. A lot of people like working from home. It's an informal, it's anecdotal on my part. But my son, he works for a big publishing house in Manhattan, Midtown Manhattan. And he only wants to come back maximum 2 days. That's all he wants. Three. He lives in Queens right now, and he wants to come back 2 days, not three, not four, not five. He wants the 3 days, at home. So a lot of people feel the same way. They like. I would. Me personally, I wouldn't. Pretty much, I don't think I would care to sit home in my PJs all day long, hunched over a computer.
I'd never be nearly as productive. We were given the choice and the opportunity early on in COVID when everybody was scared to death and nobody was working from their studios. Nobody. They gave us that opportunity and you were like, nope, we'll take the train. We'll go to Penn Station. We are coming in because it's hard to be productive when you're sitting in your own living room or own bedroom. It's hard. I don't know how people do it.
It really is difficult. Google, the same thing. The Google people are angry. Apparently, the Morgan Stanley guy got a lot of blowback feedback, the negative feedback about coming into work because he sounded angry when he was he gave an interview. Take a listen.
If you can go to a restaurant in New York City, you can come into the office. And we want you in the office. We can function with a little more flexibility, but that doesn't mean, hey, it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and, you know,
yeah.
I'm in Florida. If you want to get paid New York rates, you work in New York.
He's right about that. If you can go to a restaurant, you can get up and go to work. Come on.
So, I mean, it wasn't just like, oh, that's our new policy, and we're going to implement it. No, he sounded like he was fighting back against somebody that was saying, we don't want to come back.
Well, he's frustrated. And now they also, I read Morgan Stanley, the same group, sent a bunch of people down to Florida. They just sent them out. Go to Florida.
Yeah, if you want to live in another state. Let's listen to Cuomo. He says things are opened up here in New York State. We reached 70% vaccination rate. 70% of all adults have at least gotten one shot of the vaccine. Cuomo said this.
I say we're not reopening. That is not our goal. We closed for COVID, and now we're going to reopen post-COVID. No, I don't want to go back to where we were last year. Life is about going forward. Our challenge has to be to reimagine New York and say we're going to make a New York that's better than has ever been before.
We have
to capitalize on this moment and seize this moment of transformation to remake New York.
Jesus, starting to sound like Jim Jones and
I mean, who's applauding? Are they getting,
I don't
somebody
know.
Getting paid?
He got a rousing round of applause.
Like
there.
He's some sort of conquering hero when he is one of the worst villains in this whole pandemic episode. One of the worst.
Unreal. He doesn't think so. And clearly those people didn't.
Clearly a psycho. I mean, just out of his mind.
No.
Obviously, they stacked the audience with people, certain people. They know what they're going to get.
But
they know
was
what they're
that?
Doing.
Where did that happen?
I believe that was on the Hudson River. Down,
okay.
You know, along the Chelsea Piers area.
Was this part of that celebration yesterday? The Empire State Building and all these places had this COVID celebration.
Yes, yes. They were actually shooting fireworks off.
Why?
Because this now all restrictions have been lifted, except for three. You have to wear masks on mass transit, in schools, and one other place that escapes me at the moment.
Okay, but, well, so 70% of folks have been vaccinated. That was the reason for the celebration yesterday. I would ask Andrew Cuomo and the rest of these folks, who was the person most responsible, for 70% being vaccinated.
That's right. I like it. President Trump, ladies and gentlemen, thank
that
you, President.
So good.
A belated happy birthday and a major thank you.
Right, so while
I got to hand it to Bernie.
Cuomo's beating his chest and all these folks are having a great time somewhere in New Jersey. Donald Trump should be taking a bow for the 70% because that was not supposed to happen. He was ridiculed for even saying it may happen. And guess what, folks? It's effing happened.
Trump was right.
I'm always right.
That's my man.
Well, you know who else is always right when it comes to traffic? Thank God, because the morning could be a mess. That's why I compel you. You must listen to Joe Nolan.
We had it all.
Just like Bogey and Bacall, the great Bertie Higgins with Key Largo. Here at 6:52 on your Wednesday morning. A big Humphrey Bogart fan, you know, by my apartment on 104th and Broadway.
The answer is yes.
Humphrey Bogart Way. You are a big Humphrey Bogart fan.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Casablanca, your favorite?
No. In fact, my least favorite.
Is that right?
Is Casablanca. Yeah, no, yeah. There's plenty others. There was the Petrified Forest. Terrific. Leslie, what the hell's his name? The guy that was in Gone with the Wind?
The
English guy.
He played the soldier, Leslie. Come on.
All right, they'll look
not Leslie up. Nielsen, though.
Okay. No. Either way. Angels with Dirty Faces, all kinds of Humphrey Bogart movies were great.
You love them.
Yes, but okay. Casablanca is my least favorite. Yes, he was born up in your hood.
WFAN legend Joe Beningo will be here at 8:40 this morning. Diamond and Silk coming up at 9:05. And, of course, Beat Bernie, your chance at cash prizes coming up at 9:40. We covered the Biden Putin summit. Putin has landed in Geneva, Switzerland. He is now on his way to the summit site. The meeting is expected to start soon. That is the big piece of national news so far today. We covered the mayor stuff and the local stuff, but I do love the cover of today's New York Post, something that you, Bernie, have covered really, really well for a very long time now. And it reads, "Black families in Queens revolt. Schools failed us. $27,000 spent per student for a terrible education." And two cute kids here with report cards that read D's and D minuses. So it's nice to see African-American parents fighting back for a system that has absolutely failed them.
It really is. It's horrific. You know how much you love your kids. And if that's the only choice they have is to send them to a public school, you're fortunate enough to be able to send Gabe to a private school. I was fortunate enough to be able to send my kids to Catholic school. I went to Catholic school. My father worked his ass off to send us to pay the tuition to keep us out of the public schools.
Me too. My dad, God rest his soul, I went to Poly Prep, and then I went to Solomon Schechter. All private schools.
But these politicians now, these teachers' unions, which, by the way, are responsible for kids still wearing masks in the classrooms, the evil, selfish teachers' unions, the teachers' reputations have taken a nosedive in the wake of the pandemic. But the fact that these kids are failing like this, again, what they say all the time is we need more resources. We need more money. No, it's not money. It's not money. It's something else. We don't know what it is. You're not focusing on the three R's. Could be the fact that they have disruptive students in class. They can't expel them. That's a big problem. Kids do not wear uniforms. That's another big problem, like they do in Catholic schools. But here's how bad it is. 28% of black students in grades 3 through 8 in this particular district out in Queens, their 2019 state math exams, and just passed 2019, just 28% in grades 3 through 8 passed these math exams, and just 37% passed English. At some schools, almost no one passed, and a whopping 94% of fifth graders at PS 134 in Hollis, they flunked math. 83% bombed in English. In other words, it's just they spend, as you mentioned, $27,000 per student. And again, Catholic schools and small private schools spend far, far less with far better results. So what is the answer? The answer, well, if you don't want to fix the schools, allow school choice. Allow the kids to go to these charter schools.
Right.
Allow them. The government can help fund these charter schools where they do have to wear uniforms, where they're not taught critical race theory, they're not taught to hate the country, or they're not taught pornography by touching their penis and all that
what?
Stuff.
What? Hello? What school was that again?
It's all these schools, by the way. All of them. All of them, they do it.
Yeah,
there was one private school here that was particularly egregious.
They put
out a videotape.
I think it was Dalton.
It might have been Dalton.
I don't know.
Might have been Dalton.
I have less of an issue with that than you do. But first grade is horrible.
When you have teachers talking that way to first graders.
No, it's disgusting.
Would you talk that way to a six-year-old kid on
Never.
The street or in somebody's house?
Never.
You would be arrested for a pedophilia.
Yeah. Well,
that's terrible.
You're talking dirty to a kid? I mean, you get off on talking dirty
how
to a kid.
How dare you?
That is sick.
We should be talking about the candidates on how they feel about this. I know we talk about crime. We're all aware the three big issues in New York are crime, crime, crime. But
I think Eric Adams is the only one for school choice.
He is.
I believe so.
That's bad because that means I have to like him a little bit then.
You have completely turned on that.
Oh, completely
it's
turned
just,
on.
The whole Farrakhan thing, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a pussy. 1-800.
What about your boy Eric Ulrich, who's running his...
What do you want from Eric Ulrich? He's one of his, people. He's got millions of people all over the place, Eric Adams. He's got an entourage now like Vin from the actual show.
Bro. So if Eric Ulrich is supporting a Farrakhan sympathizer, does that sever your ties with Eric Ulrich then?
It's a good question.
See, I know the Farrakhan thing is the thing that's sticking in
really
your craw.
Really bothers me, yes.
Yeah. I know what time it is, bro.
It's 6:57.
Bro.
That means it's time for traffic.
Yeah.
Joe Nolan, take it away.
Joey!
Is a house in New Orleans.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everywhere on that 77 WABC app. Simulcast on Eastern Long Island News Talk 107.1 FM. We got a lot of stuff, folks, a lot of stuff. Of course, you may have heard about it. John Stewart spouting right-wing conspiracy theories on Stephen Colbert. Colbert freaked out. Bill Maher coming around to our side of things. Also, This was posited last night, and I'll tell you about it. Did the FBI actually help plan and execute the January 6th riot? That's right. Did they? We have a lot on that coming up. Also, we're going to speak to our old friend Joe Benigno. Benigno. I don't know how he wants to pronounce it. Benigno. It's spelt Benigno, but bro. It's pronounced Benigno.
Bro.
Either way, bro. He's going to be with us. Also, Diamond and Silk will be with us. They're not very happy. And, yeah, the imbecile in chief is meeting with Vladimir Putin. Mr. Magoo meets Darth Vader. We'll talk about that. And Joe Biden also yesterday. Oh, my God. Oh, you talk about the imbecile. Oh, he's just got, it gets worse and worse. I don't know. Is it getting tedious playing these clips of Biden just, just completely and totally losing it?
Nah, I don't think so.
This is our president. This is the commander in chief.
The
leader of the free world. It is sick. But anyway, we have it all right here on the Bernie and Sid Show.
It's when he's on Trump.
Yes, and all of the things that I said.
Shout out this morning to Chris Carini with Con Ed. Chris Carini, Con Ed, big Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show fan. So good morning to you, Chris. 7:06 on your Wednesday morning. Before we get back to the news of the day, I did, as I talked about yesterday, have my dinner with Ava last night, my daughter. She's 17. She is about to leave for South Carolina with her friends to quarantine before spending the whole summer as a CIT in Pennsylvania. And really, that's not a big deal. She's going to be away for a couple of months. But what the bigger deal is a year from now, she'll be leaving for 4 years and probably on her way to London to go to college. So we had this really cute little emotional dinner last night. And, it's funny. When she was a little girl, we would do stuff like that all the time. We were very close, me and Ava, very, very close. I would take her to tennis. I would take her all over the place. She basically grew up in Florida. She was born in New York City, lived in Tenafly, but basically grew up in Florida. But now that she's 17, I found last night that there were these really awkward moments of silence. And she would kind of look down at her phone and do what she does, Snapchat, whatever the hell it is. And I would try to restart the conversation. And it was weird because clearly she loves me. She wanted to go for dinner with me. She seemed happy to be there. But often throughout the dinner, I felt like she wanted to do something else. Now, I know you have to know what I'm talking about here, Bernie. 17 and got a lot going on.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So I didn't know how to really restart all the conversations, and she was great. She was adorable. She answered all my questions. We had some serious conversations.
Did you cry?
I did cry.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. Well, you cried. What are you going to do?
Hey, listen, it's a very rough couple of weeks for me because, of course, last night was the Ava dinner. This Sunday is Father's Day. My first Father's Day without my father. And then my mom tells me yesterday, Naomi up in Kanyanga Lake, that the unveiling, my father's headstone, was supposed to arrive in August. And we were going to do the unveiling in and around Labor Day weekend. But now it's coming early. And now she wants to do the unveiling Sunday morning, July 4th. So over the next couple of weeks, Ava's gone. First Father's Day without my father. And my dad's unveiling. So I hate to be the Debbie Downer this morning, the Don Imus, if you will. But I've got a couple of really emotionally heavy weeks coming up. So I need your shoulder, Bernie. I need you to.
You can act like
you're very good with that.
I will be here for you, Sid Rosenberg. Don't you worry about it.
All right.
It's going to be okay.
It
and
is?
By the way, the thing with Ava, it's happy. It's good. It's great.
It is?
It is fantastic.
Not really.
I mean, she's passing SATs.
She got a great number, a score.
And
there,
she's going to a great college. She's going away for the summer to do a great thing. That's happy.
Yeah.
She's not going away for chemotherapy treatments.
No, God forbid.
See. I mean,
right.
That, you know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah, I do.
That's the way to think about it. Happy times.
I wish everybody would think about stuff like that, but they don't. They get caught up in stupidity and nonsense and little crap. When you're right, those are the things that we should be concentrating on. So, anyway, happy Wednesday morning. What's going on? What's the big news?
You know the big news is all over the TVs here that Putin arrives at the summit and Biden arrives soon. Of course, he's late. The summit was supposed to start at 7 o'clock. Biden was late for a press conference the other day by 3 hours. They never explained why he was late. And again, he stumbled and mumbled. And he did the same thing again yesterday. He was sitting, again, a round table, And this is why, look, I don't like Joe. I really, really dislike him. I think he's the most dangerous president we've ever had in the history of this country.
But I have to tell you, you do a very good job of camouflaging that every morning. Yeah. I wouldn't know you don't like the guy.
No, no, but I'm trying to explain. It's not just a partisan thing. I think he's doing real, real damage.
I totally agree. And I was the one who was annoying when Trump lost. You remained steadfast and he got jobbed. And I was like, wait a second. We need a deep breath. Give this guy a chance. And you turned out to be 1,000% right.
Well, thank you. But that's my animosity, my vitriol towards this guy, the imbecile in chief. And as we were talking with somebody yesterday, I said, imbecility and senility, that is an excuse, yes, but that only goes so far. There's a lot of cowardice involved, a la Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi. They're afraid of these radical left people. So much so, they've given him everything they want. We might as well have elected Bernie Sanders and AOC because we're getting all the same policies anyway that we thought. Joe Biden was going to be the moderate. He was actually in Brussels the other day trashing Trump and the Republican Party. Supposedly, remember the whole, we're going to unite everybody in America. And the old maxim goes that politics stops at the water's edge, blah, blah, blah. Not so much with this guy. Anyway. He's still, speaking of the imbecility, take a listen to this. Sitting at a round table, starts to explain something, and then notices his national security guy, Jake Sullivan, in the room, and, you know, like a shiny object, and it just went off the rails.
I've said before, and I apologize to repeat, it's Jake Sullivan. You know, Jake is my national security advisor. I'm leaving out a lot of people here. I apologize. I'm going to get in trouble, but anyway, we'll get back to that. But there's a lot that is happening.
And it just went on. He kept just nothing. He made no sense. There was no point to what he was saying. And that's my guy, Jake Sullivan.
Believe me, Sleepy Joe.
You listen to the whole thing. It was horrible, horrible. And somebody who's not much better cognitively or substantively is his attorney general, this guy Merrick Garland. Thank God Mitch McConnell didn't put this to a vote in 2016 when Obama nominated him to be the Supreme Court justice. Thank God it didn't go to a vote. This guy didn't get he's not sitting there on the Supreme Court with robes, because yesterday he made one of the more asinine statements, and they all have been making it. Joe Biden's been making it, Merrick Garland, all kinds of people. Listen to him yesterday.
In the FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocate for the superiority of the white race.
Okay, who are these people? Who are these white supremacists? Where are these terrorist attacks occurring? What is he talking about? What the hell is he talking? And Joe Biden, the same thing. Name names, arrest people, tell us who they are, and let's get them. Let's put them away. In the middle of a black crime spree in which most of the victims are blacks. Blacks right. are being murdered in the tens of thousands in our inner cities. And he's talking about whatever he said there, white, yeah. The terrorist, domestic, no, white supremacy, whatever he said.
The blacks have been the victims, majority, and they're also committing the crimes. We've been over this a million times. We're not making up stuff. Per capita, the numbers are ridiculous.
In the middle of something like this that's happening right now, a black crime spree and a black, black victims, black murder victims in the tens of thousands. And there are a lot of whites, too, but who cares about them? As a matter of fact, there was a guy who was arrested in Georgia yesterday. He shot five people. Black. This is the headline in the New York Post. Black suspect shooting spree that wounded five was motivated by race. And he actually told the cops that he was targeting military-looking white men because he believed that they had wronged him. You think this rhetoric has no consequences? You think? Well, this guy is living proof that it does. One victim was shot in the back as he got into his car in Columbus, Georgia. So the exact opposite is happening, and they're telling you that day is night, night is day, and that this is Joe Biden in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This 1921, 2021 is the same as 1921. Well, Bill Maher yesterday on all this woke supremacist crap. This was Bill Maher. Take a listen to him.
In 1958, only 4% of Americans approved of interracial marriage. Now, Gallup doesn't even bother asking. The last time they did in 2013, 87% approved. An overwhelming majority of Americans now say they want to live in a multiracial neighborhood. That is a sea change from when I was a kid.
And then, of course,
Uncle Joe is pointing liberals towards something they need to be more aware of. They have a bad case of progressophobia. That's the phrase coined by Steven Pinker to describe a brain disorder that strikes liberals and makes them incapable of recognizing progress. It's like situational blindness, only what you can't see is that your dorm in 2021 is better than the South before the Civil War. If you think America is more racist now than ever, more sexist than before women could vote, you have progressophobia and should adjust your mask because it's covering your eyes.
How do you like that?
I used to not like Bill Maher, but I got to tell you, the last couple of months, he's been on the money.
It is people like Bill Maher, John Stewart, who we'll hear from a little bit later, talking about the lab leak theory. He's all over it now. But it's people like Bill Maher, John Stewart, Chris Rock, Kevin Hart, people like Dave Chappelle that are going to lead us out of this crazy woke supremacy culture that we're living in, this cancel. It's people like them that are going to start the revolution. They're going to stop the revolution, this cultural revolution that we're experiencing. I believe so, yeah. It's people like what you just heard there. He's talking to a liberal audience. And he's going to influence them. And a lot of liberals, they think the same thing. Yeah. They think inside, they're like, I think this is going too far.
Yeah.
But they won't say it. They're afraid. They're quivering, actually, especially after the overreaction to the George Floyd murder. I mean, that was really what made all these guilty white people suck their thumbs and put these BLM signs in their lawns and all that stuff. And so, yeah, I think it's going to come around. I think we're going to be okay in the long run.
All right, let's hope so. Bernard with some hope here on this gorgeous Wednesday morning in New York City. Don't forget, WFAN legend Joe Beningo will be here at 8:40. Diamond and Silk coming up at 9:05. And the Nets, it was looking very, very bad. Down to one superstar, they had two. Lost two consecutive games. Would they prevail on Flatbush Avenue in Game 5? You're going to find out in about 10 minutes.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
I think Michael Goodwin in today's New York Post, terrific read as always. They really have the two best writers in the country. And Michael Goodwin and our friend Miranda Devine, who's on this show often, she's writing a book right now. But his column today is entitled, This is New York. Vote as everyday New Yorkers feel. This is, I think, day 5 now of early voting. We are now just 6 days away from the actual primary, which is next Tuesday, June 22nd. And I think he nails it. You know, if you feel like you're living in a lawless, out of control, crime-riddled, dangerous society, you need to vote for somebody who may fix that. The question is, who do you really believe here? You got one guy talking out of both sides of his mouth in Eric Adams. You have others who are just blunt, blatant. Forget it. Catherine Garcia, Maya Wiley, screw the police. We're taking guns. That's it. So, yes, I agree. Vote as everyday New Yorkers feel. The problem is who really represents what we feel? Who is it?
Yeah. I mean, I like the column is good and all that, but it doesn't address who he is endorsing. He talks about the violence, the mayhem, and the filth of this city right now. Although I have to say, sitting here on our cushy studios on Third Avenue, I'm feeling optimistic from this vantage point.
Yeah,
but I see a lot of upstanding good people, a lot of traffic.
East Side, man.
Men and women dressed in summery and also business attire.
East Side.
Right.
Walk like I do every day from 104th to 92nd to New York Sports Club. Walk by 96th Street and Broadway. And see a collection every day of about, I'm not exaggerating, 9 or 10 filthy, disgusting, duty in their pants, homeless people.
Yeah, I don't doubt
Tell
that.
Me you feel the same way.
I really don't doubt that. I mean, as last summer we were at Penn Plaza, and I'm sure it's no better now than it was back then. Just maybe more people.
It's even worse because now they're out there, the homeless. They're not packed away somewhere. They're back on the trains. Every day I see them on the trains, every car. All the musical acts are back. I mean, there's nothing more annoying than putting your head back on the subway, looking to get some rest for your 5 or 6 stops, and some mariachi band all of a sudden throwing, you know, cups in your face for cash.
Yeah. So look, but still, the only one saying the right things, whether or not he means them, he at least he says them. is on the Democrat side is Eric Adams. Hey, you mentioned the fifth day of early voting.
Yeah.
The city has, what, 8 million residents?
Yeah.
You know how many people have voted so far?
Eight.
not far.
2,000.
That's a good guess. 69,000.
Okay.
69,000 out of 8 million.
I know.
Hey, come on.
They don't show up for these races. They never do. That's part of the reason why, folks, when you scratch your head and you go, how does Bill de Blasio keep winning? The real answer is no one votes.
Apathy. Exactly right. Nobody pays attention. Nobody does vote. People in this city, for the most part. I am a Nassau County resident. I don't vote. You are a New York City resident. What are you doing?
I'm not a New York City resident. I live in New York City, but I still vote in Boca.
Oh, you're not. You didn't re-register
here. Right? Which I wanted to do to vote for Curtis, but I'm not there yet. To be completely honest.
Well, then you're part of the guilty party.
Oh, absolutely.
Here.
Sure.
I mean, yeah. you should be registered and voting for you know whoever it is you're going to vote for.
I totally agree. I'm not defending myself.
No, listen.
But it's all about intent. I mean, if I could vote, that's the guy I'd.
Same thing with when Bill de Blasio was elected. Nobody voted. There was the turnout was so light, it was embarrassing. So it was just such a small handful of people voted for him. I forget even who he was running against. Some
Nicole Malliotakis.
No, it was a black.
And Bo
Deal. Oh, no, that was in 2013. I'm talking about the 2013 when he first was elected.
John Catsimatidis.
Well, Cats didn't make. He Katz didn't win the Republican primary.
Oh, I forgot who won the Republican primary. Mark, what was the name of the guy? But last
it
time
was Joe Loda.
Joe Loda. That's
right.
Right.
That's
Joe
right.
Loda. Nothing.
But last time it was Nicole and Bo. Right. That was the basically the three of them. That was no. Am I missing somebody?
Yeah. No. Bo. You're right. Bo did not get on the Republican ticket, but he was a third party candidate.
Right.
Either way, de Blasio still won hands down against both of them. Although Nicole Malliotakis outperformed expectations.
But she still got killed.
Right.
Killed.
Killed with still a real paltry amount of voters that turned out. Again, people don't pay attention. They're not involved.
But
maybe now
different.
They will. Now they will because of the crime.
Right,
and the
crime. And also, here you had the incumbent. And it was just easy to kind of let him come back. But he's gone now. Right? He's gone. So it's not as easy as, oh, we'll just vote for the same guy all over again. Now you have all brand new candidates. That makes this dynamic a little different than the last couple of easy wins for both de Blasio and Cuomo. Well, Cuomo's still an incumbent, but de Blasio's out. That's the bottom line. So someone's got to replace him.
Let's do it. I say, well, look, again, I mentioned this yesterday. If, say, God forbid, Maya Wiley gets the vote, she's the candidate. That's good news for Curtis Lewa.
True.
Because then the contrast is stark. You have somebody who is totally anti-law and order, backed by George Soros, believe it or not, the guy who funds these crazy, lenient DAs is too easygoing a term for them. They actually side with the criminals against law-abiding citizens. I mean, it's sickening.
I'm the boss.
I don't know who this guy, why just George Soros, I don't understand. He's part of this Marxist conspiracy to ruin this country. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. I mean, why would he support people? Why would this 80-something-year-old Hungarian immigrant support all these crazy whack jobs like the Philadelphia DA? He's supporting, as John Catsimatidis told us.
Tali Weinstein.
Tali Weinstein, because yeah. she's one of these crazy liberals that wants to empty the jails.
Oh, that whole Manhattan DA race looks like every bit as bad as the mayoral race. It's kind of like you pick your poison. They all look awful.
Same thing with the San Francisco DA. Same thing with the Los Angeles DA. All these people who are emptying the jails. Soros is behind all of them. The one in St. Louis, that crazy whack job who ended up prosecuting those two, the McCloskeys.
Yeah.
She ended up prosecuting them for defending their own property against the mob. So I don't know what's going on with this guy, but if he's backing Maya Wiley and she gets the nomination, I think that's good news for Curtis. You know what? In some sort of Machiavellian way,
yeah.
I'm rooting for Maya Wiley.
Unless he loses to her, and then she's in charge.
And then the whole city is screwed. But look, maybe that's the chance we have to take.
All right.
I mean,
right.
If you don't trust Eric Adams, which you clearly don't.
I don't yet, no.
than Maya Wiley, you should be rooting for Maya Wiley.
I do trust WFAN legend Joe Beningo, and he's going to be here at 8:40. And yes, I'm sure we'll touch on the Mets or the Jets or all that stuff, but he's not coming on to talk sports. He's coming on to rail on the man who is now meeting with Vladimir Putin, as we speak, in Geneva, Switzerland, and that is this feckless, inept, half-dead president, Joe Biden.
Yeah, the half-dead president who, by the way, has still not shown up to meet with Putin. Oh, there he is. He's getting off the plane now. But, yeah, it's bad. Also, did the FBI help plan and execute the January 6th riot? And also, John Stewart, he's on board with the lab leak theory. All of a sudden, John Stewart, he shocks Stephen Colbert. You got to hear this tape on the Bernie and Sid show. Listen, traffic and sports coming up next, but right now it's time for the 77 WABC clip of the day. Listen to Charlie Kirk, weekdays at noons. Charlie defends his statements on the coronavirus.
It came from a lab, everybody. We said that at first on this program over a year ago. In fact, when we said that, we were attacked by Chinese state media and Chinese intelligence services. When we came out and said that the Chinese coronavirus came from a laboratory, we were ridiculed and condemned and mocked by activist media. I remember talking to reporters and they said, there's no evidence of that. That's a conspiracy theory. You see, those two words, conspiracy theory, they put people into a paralysis. They suffocate speech. They penalize dissent.
Charlie Kirk, weekdays at noon here on 77 WABC.
Highs in the 80s all 7 days, according to New York One there, Dev is saying. 81, 80, 84, 85, 83, 86, 80. No 70s.
And the days are still getting longer.
Yes.
This is a good time.
Until Monday. I think Monday's the official first day of summer.
All right, well, let's live in the present.
Let's talk about the present. Heshy Augenbaum just sent me this. And Charles Barkley, somebody I really enjoy on television, somebody who, you know, he's kind of fair. I believe it was him who said years ago that the African-American community should clean itself up before they blame everybody else, which I thought was a really courageous comment. He, although every now and then he turns out to go the other way, too. But anyway, he's going to leave inside the NBA. He's been there for a long time. It's got to be 15 years. And he wanted to stick it out, he said, till he was 60. But he can't do it.
Stick it out?
Stick it out.
That's terrible what you said.
That's terrible. He says cancel culture has made his job impossible. He's blaming hosts, co-hosts, producers, all kinds of folks at TNT. He says, we used to have fun. He goes, now I say something, even my own co-hosts want to get me fired. Now his co-hosts are Shaquille O'Neal, Kenny Smith. So I'm not exactly sure who he's talking about, but Charles Barkley set to call it quits and blaming what's become an impossible cancel culture at TNT.
Well, you remember what he said years ago, one of the jokes he made. He caught a lot of flack for it, and, you know, he's just kidding around. This is what he said. Take a listen.
Crack a joke the wrong way. They're like, oh, no. You crossed the line. I mean,
all right, stop the tape. Stop the tape. Play number two. What he said years ago. Go ahead. We'll wait.
If you crack a joke the wrong way, they're like, oh, no.
Play number two on those big old women. This is what he said years ago. Put your mic on. Tell me what's the problem.
That's not what he said years ago. I don't have the.
On those big old women down in San Antonio.
What he said years ago.
Okay, go ahead.
If you crack a joke the wrong way, they're like, oh, no. You crossed the line. I mean, they won't even let me talk about San Antonio anymore. You know, what I'm always talking about them big old women down in San Antonio? First of all, I didn't call anybody personally fat in San Antonio. I was just joking around. And well, this one lady wrote this article. I'm like, so y'all gonna let one lady? We've been having fun with this for probably 10, 15 years. and when we go to San Antonio... Yeah. The people are having a blast with it.
So there you go. That's one of the jokes that he was upset about catching flack for. And he's one of those guys. He speaks, you know, he shoots from the hip. He says politically incorrect things. He may be getting forced out. Who knows?
He may be, right?
Yeah. So it's a possibility.
He's coming off like he's on the offensive. But they're like, Charles, you need to go before we tell you to go.
I think so.
Yeah, could be. Listen, Mark Chernoff, I'll never forget it, called me and said, here are your two choices. We're going to fire you or you can resign. I said, what's the difference? He said, really nothing. It's just a quote for the paper.
And, you know, there's another guy. I mentioned Jon Stewart and these comedians on the cancel culture and all this stuff. Well, Jon Stewart actually talking about this web leak theory. First of all, let's play Dr. Robert Redfield. The G7, they put out this tepid statement that we're going to probe the origins of the coronavirus, and they're going to delegate the investigation to the WHO, which we know is a joke. And President Trump got us out of the WHO because it was a joke. It collaborated with the Chinese on covering up at the beginning of the virus, covering up that the virus was actually a problem. And then, of course, they conducted an investigation. It was a joke. It was a farce. Now they want them to do another investigation. The guy who runs the joint, the guy Tedros, he's a handpicked by the Chinese government. And so this is what Dr. Redfield said yesterday about. And see, he used to run the CDC under Trump, and he said this about the WHO running the new probe on the COVID origins.
I think they were highly compromised. Clearly, they were incapable of compelling China to adhere to the treaty agreements that they have on global health, because they didn't do that. Clearly, they allowed China to define the group of scientists that could come and investigate. That's not consistent with their role.
No. So that's he's telling it like it is. When there's going to be another cover-up. But maybe not so much when you get people like Jon Stewart, again, bucking the liberal trend. He was actually on with Stephen Colbert. I know you say Jon Stewart, who cares? But a lot of these liberal people types, you know, I mean, he sets the trend. And once they start showing some onions, other people start coming forward as well.
Stewart also was a guy that helped out Peter King, making sure that all these 9/11 victims, which is becoming very, very important in the next couple of months, get all their money all these years. So he's done some good things. By the way, Stephen Colbert, of course, Monday night, just two nights ago, that was his first live audience since before COVID.
Right, right. But listen, with the 9/11 thing, that was easy. I mean, anybody would do that.
Oh, you'd be surprised. They got a lot of pushback from a lot of people. You would think that.
I don't know one person who came out against.
Yes, Peter King. They couldn't get anything passed.
But just name one comedian, one celebrity that said, don't compensate these 9/11 victims. Not one.
Well, maybe no one did that, but no one cared enough to get up and actually make something happen.
If he cared about first responders, he would have came out, as I mentioned at the time, last summer or fall, when the cops were under siege, their first responders, when people were coming out and trashing the police and throwing frozen water bottles at them, that's when he should have stepped up and defended our first responders.
So you're not giving Jon Stewart credit?
Well, not a lot of credit. Not on that. No. Again, that was easy. That was a layup for Jon Stewart. That made him look good. It was easy, whatever. But now what he said last night, this really goes against the woke trend. For some reason, because President Trump, Mike Pompeo, Senator Tom Cotton posited the lab leak theory, they're all against it. The fake news started to come around in the last couple of weeks. But Jon Stewart the other night on Stephen Colbert, he went full throttle on the lab leak theory, and he was right. Take a listen.
There's a chance that this was created in a lab. There's an investigation.
A chance?
Well, if there's evidence, I'd love to hear it.
There's
I don't know.
A novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan novel respiratory coronavirus lab. The disease is the same name as the lab. How did this happen? And they're like, a pangolin kissed a turtle. The only coronavirus we have is in Wuhan.
Yes.
Where they have a lab called, what's the lab called again, Stephen?
The Wuhan novel coronavirus lab.
I believe that's the case.
And now, how long have you worked for Senator Ron Johnson?
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, right. But his point is well taken. And I mentioned this before. What are the odds that the virus came from a wet market several blocks from the Wuhan, Wuhan coronavirus
lab? Slim.
Well, I mean, come on. In the whole globe?
Come on.
So anyway, the lab leak theory, it's not even a theory anymore. It's pretty much confirmed that it came from that lab. They showed bats. They showed people from the lab with bats all over the place and bats in the lab, which they had denied before. Our producer here, phone screener, Johnny O'Halloran, he just got the vaccine.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're forcing kids who are going back to college to get the vaccine. Even if they've had the virus before, despite the fact that it affects them with this myocarditis inordinately, and one kid died, believe it or not, from this heart inflammation.
Isn't that the younger kids, though, or is that college
kids? No, this is up to 24.
Okay.
It was the
number. I thought it was 12 to 17. Okay.
And John is, John, how old are you?
I'm 23.
He's 23 years old.
He's right in there.
Just
graduated.
In the wheelhouse. And not only that, he had the virus already, so he's already immune to the virus, yet for some reason, why did you get the vaccine, John, if you know that you've been vaccinated, you have the immunity?
So I'm going to Denver next month with my girlfriend, and we can't do half the things we want to do if I'm not vaccinated.
Isn't that terrible?
That's terrible.
That's why I got the vaccination.
Now the poor
I don't
kid,
believe in this nonsense.
What type of vaccine did you get, John?
I got J&J.
He got the J. He got the worst one. But the kid was near death the last couple of days. He didn't come into work because of it. And yet they're mandating that kids get it, even if they had the virus before. Thank God nothing happened to John's heart. But this is all crazy, wacky, stupid stuff, what they're doing to these kids. Somebody's got to change it before September. I guess kids got to make a decision now. It's now or never. Another guy, by the way, who came out, Bill Maher, I mentioned on race before. He says, come on, this country is not a racist country. It's not 1921. It's 2021, despite what Joe Biden says. But Bill Maher said this about masks and social distancing and all that stuff. Take a listen to him.
California, we're back, baby. June 15th. Yes, maybe we will. Maybe we can stop this silly distancing and masking. Tuesday, California lifts its restrictions. Yes. And I see not everyone applauding because that's just true. A lot of people out here, a lot of people everywhere. I don't understand these people. They say they're going to continue to wear masks even after they sound the all clear. You're never going to have a 100% COVID-free atmosphere. Viruses always stay. There's there's always variants. I can't guarantee everything. We just have to live again.
And so that's Bill Maher, again, going against the woke liberal orthodoxy. And the people like him are going to lead us away from this woke supremacy. But on the mask thing, of course, they're still making kids wear masks in schools in New York State, even though we reached this 70% threshold that the Governor Cuomo was doing the happy dance over yesterday. But our boy John O'Halloran here, how bad were you the last couple of days? How bad did you feel?
I'll put it to you this way. So I was telling you before, I had pneumonia when I was 6 years old, put me in the hospital for a week. Outside of that, this is probably the sickest I've ever felt in my life.
That's awful. And he didn't want to get the vaccine, but he has to in order to participate in society. That ain't right.
No,
there's something wrong about that.
I totally agree. You should be allowed to do whatever you want. Now, maybe you don't hang out with vaccinated people when you do these events. Like you do at baseball games now. I went to a Met game with Bill O'Reilly on Friday. There was a vaccinated section and an unvaccinated section. But you shouldn't be excluded from doing anything if you're not vaccinated.
You shouldn't even be segregated. If these people are vaccinated, somebody like John who's not, who already is immune, but even if he didn't have the virus before, if you're vaccinated, you're at no threat from somebody who's not vaccinated. You are at no threat whatsoever. So there's no reason to segregate anybody. No reason.
No, it's true.
It's all free choice. My body, my choice. Let everybody do what they want. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Get a vaccine, don't get a vaccine. Life goes on.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Again, don't forget, WFAN legend Joe Beningo makes his debut on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show, my former partner. He'll be here at 8:40, the very entertaining duo of Diamond and Silk. They're coming up at 9:05. And, of course, your chance at cash prizes and a Barry House coffee mug. Beat Bernie, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Borders, comes your way at 9:40. Lots of exciting stuff to do on this, the Hump Day Wednesday edition of Bernie and Sid.
We choose to go to the moon.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Again, heard everywhere on that 77 WABC app. Simulcast out on Eastern Long Island. News Talk 107.1 FM. And yes, the big summit is underway in Switzerland. Neutral ground. So nobody will get hurt. Joe Biden, the imbecile in chief, is meeting up with the evil ex-KGB guy, Vladimir Putin, and they're talking right now. Now, as I mentioned to Sid earlier, they are not, it's not mano a mano. They each have their respective, well, in Biden's case, it's the Secretary of State, the guy who got bitch slapped in Alaska by the Chinese, and Vladimir Putin has his foreign secretary there. So it's really, it's two on two is what it is. But Joe Biden has decided, and his handlers have decided, that they're not going to have a joint press conference afterward, as is traditional. And that is a sure sign of weakness. Listen to Mike Pompeo on that.
The fact that you're not prepared to stand 6 or 8 feet from your adversary and tell the world what it is you talked about, the things you care about, why you care about them, shows enormous weakness. And we shouldn't forget, whether it's Chairman Kim or the Ayatollah or Xi Jinping, they're watching this too. When they smell weakness, when they can sniff it, the deterrence model that American successful defense depends upon will walk away, and these folks will drive a truck through it. So if you're not prepared to simply stand on a podium and respond to questions from the press that might be asked of you, that might be hard or might be tricky, while your adversary standing a few feet away from you, that's an enormous sign of weakness.
You don't want to get in trouble, Joe. You do not want to get in trouble with your people and screw up. He screwed up so much left and right. I have audio. We have audio of him just mumbling and stumbling the past few days. At this point, I think it's tedious right now. It's so bad. But the person in line to replace him is maybe even worse. It's really, really sad. Look, we'll talk to Joe Beningo, formerly of WFAN. This guy is knee-deep in politics. He's a big bro. Trump supporter, bro. Joe Beningo, we'll talk to him at about 8:40, and then we'll speak to Diamond and Silk in the 9 o'clock hour. They're also, of course, they have a show on Newsmax TV, big-time Donald Trump supporters. And did the FBI actually help plan and execute the January 6th riot? You know, that theory is going around now. There's actually a news organization that did an investigation. And we'll elaborate on that a little bit more. And also, this Mo Brooks. I got a piece of tape for you here from this Mo Brooks. He really slapped around a fake news reporter yesterday. It's great. All on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Very underrated New York movie. Christopher Cross here with a theme from Arthur. I used to love Dudley Moore, man. That guy drank a lot more than Bernard.
Who was the girl?
Bo Derek.
Bo Derek.
I almost said Bo Deedle. That was the movie 10. That wasn't this movie.
That's right. Exactly.
In this movie, the star was, you ready for this? Liza Minnelli. Okay. She was his love interest, and the great Sir John Gielgud played his butler. And it was a great, there was a couple of them, they made a couple of these movies.
Something else to say. What's your name again?
I like Liza Minnelli.
I'll give you
what are you going to do? She had a problem.
Liza Minnelli was great. We actually interviewed her daughter, Lorna Luft.
Yes, we did. That's right.
In studio years ago.
Remember
she had
that.
The new book out. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Any chance you know the song that was playing when a very tan, beaded hair Bo Derek was running down the beach in the movie 10 with Dudley Moore?
Can't remember.
I think it was Bolero, Ravel's Bolero, very famous classical piece. I'm going to go with that.
By the way, that in retrospect, now you just triggered me. She was wearing, she braided her hair.
Yes.
That's not cool.
No, that's cultural
appropriation.
That's right.
Yeah, that's not cool.
No good,
sorry.
Right?
Sorry. No, she's canceled.
White people do that stuff all the time in the West Indies, you know. They go to Jamaica, they go to
Trinidad.
Yeah,
girls do it all the time, but
no good.
No more.
Can't do it no more.
No, my daughter won't do it. My wife won't do it, or else I'll disown them.
Yeah. What famous Hollywood producer, director, was Bo Derek, I keep almost saying Bo Deedle, was Bo Derek married to?
It was John Derek.
Very good. Who was also married to who?
I don't know.
The blonde in the James Bond movie? Come on.
Pussy Galore.
No. Well, there was plenty of that, and that was a character's name. Yeah. Very famous actress. Blonde.
Ursula Andress.
Very good.
Come on, I know what time it is. That she played Pussy Galore.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
I don't think. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, she was married to John Derek, too, so. Congratulations, you got all the questions right.
Do I have to play Beat Bernie today now? Can I get away with it?
I don't know. You were pretty good just now. So you intimated before the break here that the FBI, this is unreal but reasonable, the FBI may in fact be involved in the whole January 6th mess, which we do not call an insurrection because based on the definition, it was not an insurrection. But the FBI may be involved.
Well, nobody has been charged with insurrection. Certainly not an armed insurrection. Nobody was armed. And there are a lot of questions out there. They have, I understand they have 14,000 hours of surveillance tape. I saw this on Tucker last night. This all started with this a website, Revolver.com. Revolver.com. And the headline of their article is this. Unindicted co-conspirators in January 6 cases raise disturbing questions of federal foreknowledge. Now, we do know this, that Nancy Pelosi and the Capitol Police, they turned down help from the feds for protection, the National Guard, et cetera, et cetera. They turned them down. We know that the Capitol Hill cops waved protesters in. They let them in. And we also know that, Ashley Babbitt was shot. We don't know who shot this Air Force veteran who was unarmed. We don't know the answer to those questions.
Her husband is actually suing.
But we know the net effect of the whatever you want to call it, the riot. The net effect was that it shut down questions about the November 3rd election and about election fraud, all that stuff. Shut it all down, and it painted Trump supporters, it tried to at the very least, as domestic terrorists. You ask a question about November 3rd, you are a domestic terrorist. So Revolver, they put out these three questions. In the year leading up to January 6th and during January 6th itself, to what extent were the three primary militia groups, the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys, and the Three Percenters, that the FBI, DOJ, Pentagon, and Network News have labeled most responsible for planning and executing a Capitol attack on January 6th, to what extent were they infiltrated by agencies of the federal government or informants of said agencies? Now, why did they ask that question? Because there are a bunch of what they call unindicted co-conspirators.
Right.
Now, who are these unindicted co-conspirators? And why are these co-conspirators not indicted? Well, there could be one explanation, is that they're ratting out their friends. That could be one. Or they were indeed federal agents, FBI agents, who infiltrated these organizations and helped plan this particular riot, or whatever you want to call it, that did really, it helped discredit the whole what happened on November 3rd movement. You know that. It shut down any discussion about it whatsoever. So the question is that. Did the FBI infiltrate them? Now, they did infiltrate. Remember, there was this supposed kidnapping attempt of Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Well, guess what? The FBI agents infiltrated the people who were involved in that, and they helped plan it. They helped plan it. They let it go forward until the very last minute. And also, the same thing with this Garland, Texas. Remember, they shot up the church? These Islamic people shot up the church? The FBI infiltrated that group as well and helped plan that particular attack. So it's happened before, and it may have happened this time, and it may have been some weird Machiavellian attempt, again, to discredit. Again, why did Nancy Pelosi not accept protection? Why did the Capitol Hill cops, why were they told to wave people into the Capitol instead of stopping them? Nobody knows. So this guy from Revolver.com, he was on with Tucker last night. His name is Darren Beatty. This is what he said last night.
The American people deserve the truth about 1-6, not just for the sake of Ashley Babbitt, not just for the sake of the hundreds of people held in prison unjustly as a violation of human rights, but for the sake of the 70-plus million people who are Trump supporters or just against the corrupt ruling class who have effectively been labeled de facto domestic extremists by our own government. The key that unlocks the truth is the following question. To what extent were the main militia groups imputed to the 1-6 so-called Capitol siege? Was there infiltration of those groups by undercover agents or informants? And to what extent, when we see the unindicted co-conspirators who occupy senior positions in those groups, to what extent are those people being spared prosecution on account of a prior relationship with the federal government? Yep. Those two questions create a thread. And when we pull that thread, the ugly truth of that event and perhaps even the country we live in will be exposed.
So would you put it past the FBI and the quote-unquote deep state after what we saw?
Of course not.
During the Trump administration, the whole Russia collusion thing, the Steele dossier and all that stuff, and them looking the other way, knowing that it was fake, it was a false document, a stupid, ridiculous document, actually. Would you put it past them?
Of course
John
not.
Brennan and those guys, James Comey?
I think they did it. I do.
I mean, they may have, yes, infiltrated these. This is very Machiavellian thing, but they may have infiltrated these pro-Trump groups just to foment this stuff because they knew it would backfire on the Trump supporters politically. And if so, it worked like a charm. Yeah. But it's very dangerous and nefarious if they did do it. We need to know that. We need to know these answers. And credit to this guy, whatever his name is, Darren Beatty, Revolver.com, and Tucker Carlson for putting it front and center last night. Everybody's talking about it this morning. Tucker Carlson saying the FBI helped plan this, as they call it, the insurrection. Oh, yeah, right. That's right. It's a possibility. Now, also, Vladimir Putin was asked about he was talking to a journalist, and he invoked, believe it or not, the January 6th, riot. Take a listen.
Did you order Alexei Navalny's assassination? Of course not. We don't have this kind of habit of assassinating anybody. That's one. Number two is, I want to ask you, did you order the assassination of the woman who walked into the Congress and who was shot and killed by a policeman? Do you know that 450 individuals were arrested after entering the Congress, and they didn't go there to steal a laptop? They came with political demands.
So that's funny. They're using our domestic political situation, BLM. The Chinese did it with Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
He's doing it with January 6th and saying, look, he's essentially saying that these people, they weren't stealing stuff. They went there. It was just a political protest, essentially, is what he's saying. But that's how sneaky and manipulative that Vladimir Putin is. That's just why he's going to run circles around the imbecile in chief.
Oh, God. They're together right now as we speak in Geneva, Switzerland. It's got to be – it really is a joke. It is one of the biggest mismatches politically I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Now, remember I told you last week, this Babylon Bee, it's just caught me by storm this last couple of weeks. I think it's hilarious and they're really, really good. And I told you that the New York Times, they're like the Onion. They're a conservative onion, the Onion, right? The Onion was funny. It sort of fell off the face of the earth, but now it's the Babylon Bee. The New York Times decided the New York Times decided to label them as misinformation in the hopes that they would get deplatformed, taken off social media. That was the hope. That was the intent. So they actually sued the New York Times. Now the New York Times retracted what they said about the Babylon Bee being misinformation. And of course, the biting satire, I mean, humor is very, very effective in winning over people's hearts and minds, whatever. And that's why the New York Times went after them. And again, it was an attempt to deplatform them. And they get most, I see it all on Twitter. That's where I get the Babylon Bee stuff. And the guy was on last night, the CEO, he was on with Tucker last night. And Tucker said it was the funniest website on the internet. Funniest website on the internet. And I'll give you a couple of examples. Here's one. Kim Jong-un attends Ivy League University to learn new brainwashing techniques. Study finds a link between happiness and not knowing who Chrissy Teigen is.
Oh, that's a good one.
Democrats shocked, disappointed to learn new Israeli prime minister will still be a Jew. And he's talking about the G7. People who ruined world's economies gather to discuss how to fix world's economies.
What am I doing here?
Schools to get around critical race theory bans by just beating white kids with sticks.
That I refuse to believe.
And they have this breaking news. A feminist laughs.
That's funny.
Bro. And here, the pros and cons of going into crippling debt to acquire a useless degree. And they list a bunch of pros and cons. Here's one. Pro. You'll learn to master genderqueer feminist intersectionality. Yay. Con. Genderqueer feminist intersectionality isn't as useful as burger flipping. That's pretty good. And finally, we'll go out with this. Biden announces Putin meeting was a success. Hunter now has a job with Russian pipeline. That's pretty good. Pretty topical.
That is pretty good.
And so that's why, of course, they try to silence the Babylon Bee because... biting satire, nothing is more effective than that or persuasive than biting satire. Really hurts, but kudos to them. They won the lawsuit. They didn't win the lawsuit. The New York Times actually retracted their claim that it's misinformation. Duh, on the Bernie and Sid show. We're going to talk to Lydia Serrani. Lydia reports next. Also, Joe Beningo at 8:40, and then Diamond and Silk in the 9 o'clock hour. Come on, folks. On the Bernie and Sid Show.
Bro.
We're going to end the cash bail system once and for all.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
This report is sponsored by the Russian Tea Room. Are you on a budget and need to impress business partners or have a special occasion? The Russian Tea Room offers the ultimate iconic experience, a three-course meal for only $55. Check them out at RussianTeaRoomNYC.com. Well, a New York City's turnstile type of justice strikes again. This time, just a few days ago over the weekend, a German tourist was headed to Staten Island on the ferry when she was punched in the back of her head, knocked to the ground by 33-year-old Nelson Saxton of Harlem. Now, Nelson is no stranger to the law. Get this, guys. He has 42 prior arrests. 42. Wow. He just slugged this woman. He's 33 years old. Just a few weeks ago, he assaulted somebody, and he's been in and out of police custody because he hasn't spent a day in jail in a very long time since this bail reform was instituted. But 42 charges, and he attacked this 19-year-old girl, knocked her in the head, and yet they want New York City to open up again. A judge finally set bail at $15,000 bond or $5,000 cash. It appears that he's homeless and he has some emotional problems. And it's just the whole situation is just sad. Why is this guy walking out on the streets like this?
Because of Governor Cuomo. Blood on his head. Hey, listen, was this guy, this perp, was he a white supremacist?
What do you think?
Well, no, that's the biggest, the biggest threat facing us these days, according to our top law enforcement official down in Washington, D.C., Attorney General Merrick Garland. That is the top threat. So I would imagine it's stuff like that he's talking about.
I thought global warming was the existential threat.
Yeah,
now.
Right? I mean, can we get on one topic or stay on one message or whatever the hell it is? But no, Governor Cuomo, obviously, Governor Cuomo and de Blasio and George Soros and these lenient DAs, all of them, this whole the wake of the George Floyd death, the legacy, of course, the overreaction to the George Floyd death, causing this law and order, this anarchy, and the sense that among criminals that they can do whatever the hell they want. It's unbelievable. Remember de Blasio talking about Washington Square Park just 2 days ago? Listen to him.
I really think that what the Parks Department, NYPD, are trying to do is reset the balance properly. Obviously, do it in a way that involves communication and not conflict. They're experimenting with different approaches to get it right. And we've had a number of nights where things went pretty smoothly. We had a few nights where they didn't. But it's going to, I think, lead to a natural outcome here. We're going to keep working on it, led by Parks Department, determine the right closing time. And I think we'll get into a pattern that works pretty soon.
Yeah, we had a few people who were beaten, robbed, and stabbed. But, just relax. Be patient. It'll be all right. I mean, it wasn't you, right? You didn't get beaten, robbed, and stabbed. So just take it easy. That's essentially.
Sid, you live in the city. You're here basically 24/7. Do you feel unsafe walking down the streets? I don't understand how New York can be back and better than ever. Yeah, baby. You know, Governor Cuomo announcing in de Blasio and criminals are running rampant on the streets.
We just had this discussion a little while ago because Bernie was saying looking outside on Third Avenue, it looks nice. People are dressed nicely. And it is. It's a relatively posh part of town. I live on the Upper West Side. I make a 12-block walk every day, Lydia, from 104th and Broadway to 92nd and Broadway, which gets me through 96th and Broadway. Which every day, 9-10 homeless people, feces in their pants, reaching out looking for money, yelling at me for no reason. It's terrifying.
Put your
terrifying.
Mask on. Yeah. Hey, you live on the wrong side of the tracks, my brother.
I guess I do.
How do you like that? That's a switch.
Well, if they're coming after Sid and he's like a big, built guy.
Oh, they don't care.
What about a young girl? That's why this 19-year-old girl, they're just like walking targets, and she gets bashed in the head. Can you imagine? She's not coming back to New York City to visit anytime soon.
Well, I just recall the lady in Chinatown getting socked, sucker punched like that, knocked out cold in Chinatown. I mean, just think of that. Or the woman getting stomped up on 8th Avenue. Again, by, I guess, those two white supremacists, it's really a scourge on our country right now, what's happening. We have to nip this in the bud as soon as possible. But, either way, the sense that they can get away with whatever the hell they want, it's been fostered by all these quivering white liberals who allow it and put BLM signs in their lawns. And these guys, these decarceration advocates, the people like Maya Wiley, de Blasio.
You took the words out of my mouth, yep.
Yeah, all these people. I mean, they actually believe that they want to close the jails. De Blasio let people out of jails, put them in the Pennsylvania Hotel across the street from Penn Station.
Yes.
During the pandemic. Right, because he was worried that the inmates would get coronavirus, but he didn't care about the people getting bashed over the head and their money getting taken from them.
Well, if Maya Wiley becomes the mayor, she said she's going to possibly, she's thinking about it, to take the guns away from the cops.
Right.
So I guess they'll just have to ask very nicely, once again, how de Blasio wants, like, can you please put your hands out so I can arrest you? Or I don't know. I really don't understand what's going on.
It makes no sense. Look, I mentioned to Sid earlier about Maya Wiley. Everybody's worried that she's going to get elected because she got endorsed by AOC,
right,
by Pocahontas, and all these far-left radicals. However, posit this. Think about this. Ponder this, I should say, Lydia. If Maya Wiley gets the nomination from the Democrats, Curtis Sliwa has a better chance because now there's a stark contrast.
Yep.
He's not going up against, you know, Law and Order Eric Adams, the former cop. He's going up against a complete release the criminal lunatic.
By the way, in that little example you're bringing up here, Bernard, Sliwa beats Maya Wiley. We're just assuming at this point with pretty good data that he's going to beat Fernando Mateo, Curtis.
Yeah, okay. I think it's the conventional wisdom, but I mean, if it doesn't happen, you know, don't hold me to it.
Well, whoever the next mayor is, I hope he or she can eradicate this country, especially right here in New York City, of the scourge known as white supremacy.
All these literally tens of thousands of black murder victims. They're all getting killed by white supremacists. I mean, seriously, can we name one white supremacist or one white supremacy crime that has taken place this year? Can anybody name one?
I can't in years.
What are these people doing? What is Merrick Garland doing getting up and giving a speech like that yesterday? What do they do? What is Joe Biden doing in Tulsa giving speeches like that? What are they talking about?
These people are sick.
Thank you, President Trump. That says it all.
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's water.
Right.
That's what it is. This report, again, is sponsored by the Russian Tea Room. You have to try their afternoon tea at the Russian Tea Room for an enchanting experience, ideal for pre-theater or a special occasion. I mean, what better way to spend the day in New York City? And this is a very safe part of town. You can do that afternoon tea daily from 12 noon until 4:30 p.m. And the Russian Tea Room is at 150 West 57th Street.
Very good, Lydia Serrano. She's on at 4 o'clock every day, folks. She's great. Better than the competition. Believe me when I tell you.
Head on over to WABCRadio.com right now. Register for your chance to win a Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee, the official coffee sponsor of the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. I myself had a nice hot cup of French vanilla, hot coffee, Barry House this morning. Yes, I did, Brian. You were right there when I made it at exactly 6:03 a.m. So enjoy your Barry House coffee, and what is it for your chance to win today?
Bro.
There he is, that epic bro. That iconic, I should say. That iconic bro. A legend. You know, we use these words too often. Great, amazing legend. Not with Joe Meningo. A legitimate legend. The guy was the overnight king after Steve Summers got his first day opportunity with me. When he replaced Jordy McDonald, and me and Beningo hosted middays together in between Imus and Mike and the Mad Dog.
But wait a second, though. How could that be if I played the prank phone call on him in the afternoon?
No, you didn't.
Before you got in the business.
No, it was overnight. It was overnight. Both
no,
of us.
No, it wasn't. I called him in the afternoon.
Maybe he was filling in that day for Mike and Chris?
Okay.
Yeah, because he did overnight.
Well, let's ask him.
Yeah, he did overnight. His first day job was at me, and then he went on with Evan, and I left. Anyway, good morning, Joseph Beningo. How are you, buddy?
What's up, guys? By the way, Bern, it was 5:20 in the morning.
Oh, was it?
Thank you.
My bad.
And by the way, an Ursula Andress did not play Pussy Galore because she was in Dr. No, and that was Goldfinger.
Well, I'm checking into rehab, and I'm going to quit the drugs.
What are we talking about, James Bond now?
No,
what is it?
We're talking about Bo Derek earlier. But no, the point is, yes, he got us both. He got you as Antoine. He got me as Jamal. And in both cases, it was the overnight show, and Ray Martell was part of the whole conspiracy both times.
Yeah, the incomparable Sugar Ray Martell. By the way, Jimi Hendrix as the lead-in. I like that. A little little watchtower. I like that, bro.
That's for you. So listen, so I come in, I tell Bernie last week, I go, I talked to Beningo. Now you expect to hear rants on the Jets and the Mets
and the Knicks
and the Rangers. What folks don't expect to hear is Joe Beningo, as you've done now twice the last 2 weeks with me, going crazy about the political climate in this country. You fell in love with Donald Trump. You've gone bonkers.
I am a little. By the way, before we even go there, can I say hello to the great Bernard McGurk, who I haven't seen since he stopped in. He made a cameo for about 2 seconds. We were doing a show at Macy's a couple of years ago, Evan and I, and all of a sudden I look over and into the crowd, and is the incomparable Bernard McGurk. Bernie, how are you, bro?
God bless. Listen, it's great to have you, John. I remember that day I walked in, I saw a big crowd surrounding you, and I didn't want to interrupt you, so I just waved and kept going. But it is such an honor to have you. It's been too long, Joe Beningo. Yeah. Great to have you on the show.
The incomparable Bernard McGurk. Yeah, no, you know, Sid, going back to what you're talking about, the country is a disaster. I mean, how else can you say it? I mean, we got a president that's completely incompetent. They're way over their heads running this country, not to mention that, he's sold out to the socialist Democrats. I mean, he sold the country down the tubes to the socialist Democrats, to China, who's, got him by the you-know-whats with all the money he's made from them over the years, and, of course, with his son and all of that nonsense, not to mention all the Chinese money that's infiltrated into the United States. So we could go on and on. It's a disaster. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to go, guys. Where am I going?
I'll take you. I'll take you. I can't even go.
Bernie, Sid, I can't even go to Israel anymore. They're shooting bombs there. I mean, where?
Oh, yeah.
Where am I going?
No, you got to hang out is what you got to do.
I mean, where the hell am I going? The only place I can go is Florida.
Florida.
Where are you going?
Wyoming, South Carolina.
Well, here it is. There's four. Texas. No, I figured it out. Guys, I figured it out. There's four states you can live in now. You can live in, unfortunately, I'm not living in one of them. You can live in Florida, you can live in South Carolina, you can live in Tennessee, you can live in Texas, that's about it.
Hey, now listen, you mentioned New Jersey. And I got into it last week because none of us can stand Phil Murphy. I said, listen, you got to vote for this Jack Cittarelli guy. You took exception to that. Have Bernie tell you, Bernie, is Jack Cittarelli still a never-Trumper?
What's the deal with this dude?
No, we spoke to him last week, and he does not sound like a never-Trumper. Look, when a guy runs in a primary, he has to say certain things. Sometimes he has to sell his soul a little bit. I remember when Bo Dietl ran for mayor here in New York.
He had
to sell out Donald Trump because, for political purposes, it is not maybe the most noble thing to do, but for practicality, that's what Cittarelli did. But he's on the Trump train, believe me when I tell you. Listen, Joe Beningo, I'll say this. Joe Biden is this corrupt, pervert, imbecile in chief, I call him. But at the saving grace is we always have, when he's, they impose the 25th Amendment on him, we always have Kamala Harris.
Oh, my God. Oh! Oh, my God. Yeah, let's be honest about Kamala Harris. I mean, this woman looks like she can't wait to hit the next frat party. I mean, am I wrong?
No, she's a
little. I mean, where's the joint? Where's the beer? I mean, that's basically the deal. And this woman is the freaking vice president.
Where's Willie Brown at?
Every time they ask her a tough question, all she does is cackle. She gives you this laugh. I mean, come on. Yeah. I mean, this girl couldn't even get 5% in the primary when she was running for the primary. Okay, can I say girl? I got to call her woman. I mean, maybe
no,
I
no,
should
No, you,
her...
you're retired. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, whatever you can't say girl anymore. But, I mean, it's unbelievable. And she's the vice president?
Yep.
I mean, what?
Beto O'Rourke got more votes than she did. Yeah.
Now, would you say, just to take it to a sports analogy?
By the way, can I just say, before we get to that, can I just say this, too?
Yeah.
All along, my feeling was that, Biden got it. Obviously, look, the whole election was a disgrace. It was a joke, not to mention, what big tech did and how they hid all the Hunter Biden stuff and how the media was all against Don and all of that. But, I mean, it's just unbelievable when you think how is it possible? See, I all along thought that Biden would be president for about a year and a half, and their game plan all along was for her to be the president, okay? And, they want a woman in there. They want a woman of color in there. This is what they wanted all along. They never wanted Joe Biden. An old white guy? This is what the Democrats want?
He was a vehicle.
Of course. Right. So this was but now I think even they realize that she's so incompetent. No, really, she's so freaking incompetent. How could we possibly let this woman be president?
It'll be like
am I wrong?
No,
here?
No,
1,000%.
It would be like allowing Rich Kotite to coach the Jets. Oops, we did that.
Oh my God! you got to be kidding me.
Now, Joe, you've been telling me for days that you believe this whole COVID virus was actually orchestrated by the left, George Soros specifically. You think this was really a hit job by the left just to change government and the direction of this country, yes?
Well, I mean, I think it really starts with China. I mean, China wanted Trump out. I mean, is it a coincidence that this virus hits in the election year? I mean, to me, this is like, really? I mean, this was a coincidence. I don't buy that. I don't buy that for a second.
No.
You know, I think this came, obviously, this came from China. I think China knew that Trump was tough on them. They didn't want him around for four more years. The country was humming. The economy was phenomenal. You know, everything was going. He had the border under control. It was unemployment was the lowest, you know, for everybody. I mean, it was unreal. And so something had to happen. And I think this was the one way that they could get this guy out. You know, they blame it all on him. It's his fault, even though he was right from the get-go. I mean, every which way that he was right.
Yep.
And I really believe that. I mean, who knows? Look, Do I know? I have the, what do I know?
No,
you know,
Joe,
I know nothing.
Joe,
I'm just a sports guy, you know.
You don't have a smoking gun, but your instincts.
But
are
I mean, let's
good.
Be real about it. I mean, this was not some some bat. Some guy ate a bat, and all of a sudden, here comes the virus. I mean, who's kidding who?
And then check this out, Joe. Then of course the vaccine. Well, it's not going to come out before 2020.
Right.
It's Trump's. And then of course it comes
Dr.
out
Fauci,
right.
Prince, God, right. The king of all time, Dr. Fauci. Yeah. Oh my God!
Comes out right after the election. The vaccine comes out right.
Right.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, like the day after the election's over. Here's the vaccine.
Unbelievable.
After, like you said, after everybody said Fauci, oh my God, 3 years. Let me tell you, if it wasn't for Donald Trump, okay, this vaccine would never. There's no way there'd be a vaccine. We'd all be wearing body armor now.
Hazmat suits.
I mean, what, are you serious?
WFAN legend Joe Beningo here.
You wouldn't be able to kiss your wife at this point.
But trust me, I don't kiss so much anyway. Hey,
we won't go there, Sid.
I know. Hey, let's talk about the Brooklyn Nets. They got a big win last night in Game 5.
God.
But this was another conversation you and I had. You know, here's Kevin Durant. He goes crazy. He scores 49 points. But Kevin Durant really is in the same school as LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and all these NBA players that live a life of luxury, yet they hate this country and hate everything this country stands for. Now, you're on record telling me, off the record, that you're down on the NBA. Did you watch that game last night?
I did. No, I am very down on the NBA for many reasons, not just the fact that they're political, it's so they're so woke, it's above and beyond, and the fact that they're in bed with China, too. Let's not forget that.
Good point.
I mean, that's a big part of it. But there's so many things about the NBA. You know, you can't play defense anymore. God forbid you put your finger on a guy and you get a 5-month suspension. You know, the coaches, whatever happened to, you know, the Armani suits, you know, Pat Riley, Chuck Daly, Isaiah Thomas. Now these guys look like they're coaching some rec league team, these coaches. No, really, it's ridiculous. Everybody's got 75 different uniforms. When I'm watching the Knicks in the playoffs at home, can I see the Knicks, like, wearing the home white Knick jersey and not some, you know, black jersey that says the city never sleeps on it? I mean, what are we doing? Nets, you never know what jersey the Nets are going to wear. I mean, it's unbelievable. So all of that aspect of it makes me crazy. There's no doubt. Plus, you're taking 53 pointers a game. You know, the low post center is it doesn't exist anymore in the NBA. But I mean, and then you add all the woke stuff, and it makes you nuts. But I did watch the game last night, and it was an epic performance by Kevin Durant. I mean, this is what they paid. This is why they gave Durant the money. This is why they allowed Durant not to play for a year and then signed him and knew he wasn't going to play for a year, for what you saw from him last night, which was, you know, an all-time great performance by an all-time great player.
You know, I have a spy that lives, is your neighbor, actually, Joe Beningo, and that he told me that after the George Floyd murder that you actually planted a Black Lives Matter flag on your lawn. Is that true?
That is true, yes.
Well, there's really no truth to that. although the Black Lives Matter, wait a minute, hold on a minute, the flags are all over the embassies now, right?
Yes, yeah, right. Yes.
Yeah. Imagine how they're
everywhere.
That is.
They're everywhere. Hey, one last thing, Joe. I got to ask you this. You're one of those sports fans that always feels like the sky is falling. And you know, listen, you're a Jet fan. You haven't seen a championship for 100 years.
It's only been 53, but who's counting?
but listen, this Walker last night, another great outing. I was actually there at the game on Friday with Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, I'm so pumped about the Mets.
Are the Mets?
I can't tell you.
Are they going to win? Are they going to win it?
Well, I think they're going to win it. I think, look, there's no reason they shouldn't win the division. Okay, now can they go on and win a World Series? I mean, I don't know. I mean, a couple things. And look, I'm thrilled with the Mets. I mean, with the guys, with all the injuries they've had, it's unbelievable what you've gotten from guys like Taquan Walker. The bullpen has been, I mean, with the bullpen, it's been a disaster forever. It's suddenly one of the strengths of the team. Not that I still have any real confidence in Edwin Diaz. I still think in a big spot he's going to blow it, which I do, but. You know, the bullpen has been terrific. These guys like Kevin Pillar and Jonathan Villar and Billy McKinney, I mean, the job they've done has been unreal. And even though Lindor hasn't hit, okay, Lindor, how about the defense? How about the defense?
Joe, if the Mets were not in first place, he'd be getting hammered every day. He is so lucky they're in first place.
He is. Please. He is. But let me say this. No, you're right. But one of the reasons that they've won is because this guy is a leader in the club. I don't think there's any question he's a team leader. And look, I'm not thrilled with him hitting .213, but he's been a team leader. And defensively, the defense of this team is unbelievable, how the improvement. For years, they have been a terrible defensive team. How about the play that really won the game for them last night at the end?
Yes.
They stupidly sent Mariznick from first base on a base hit to right center, and Pillar and Guillaume make these two great throws to nail the guy at the plate and really save the game for the Mets last night.
The incomparable.
The defense has been unbelievable.
Incomparable Joe Beningo, the inimitable Joe Beningo on the Bernie and Sid Show. Joe, to take it full circle, one last tough, quick question for you. We're approaching 2024. DeSantis is running in the primary against former President Donald Trump. Who do you vote for?
Well, I don't think that'll happen. I mean, I think if Don wants to run, he's running. You know, nobody's going to mess with him if he wants to run. If Don does not want to run, then to me it's Ron DeSantis all the way.
Yeah, baby.
I mean, Ron DeSantis is clearly the guy.
No doubt.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. What he's done in Florida, he's unbelievable. You know, just quickly, we never really got into Jersey. One of the best things that ever happened to Phil Murphy is Andrew Cuomo, Gretchen Whitmer, and Gavin Newsom.
Such a good point.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he has flown so under the radar because of those three people. It's unbelievable.
You know, Joe, you haven't missed a beat. I would have thought you were on the air just yesterday. I swear to God, you're brilliant. You're great. There's a reason why you're a legend. And we want you to keep coming back on this show because you can talk politics and sports.
Whatever.
Right? Isn't
this
great?
Look, I don't want to interrupt too much of my golf time. Let me tell you. Because basically at this point in my life, there's two things I want to do, Sid. Play golf and work on my tan. I'll never have the tan that you have because I'll never sit in the course.
Wait a second. Is your wife Terry there? What about the third thing?
What's that?
What happened?
That goes without saying.
I mean, come on. That's understood.
She's my golf partner. What are you kidding? I play golf with her every day.
Hey, listen, on the way out, was the highlight of your career?
Bernie, by the way, Bernie, is he still all tanned? I haven't seen him in a while.
Oh, he's darker than LeBron James.
Yeah, I'm darker. Yeah. Phil Simms says I'm darker than Leonard Marshall. Hey, on the way out, was the highlight of your career when we were at the, when I was drunk at the Isaiah Thomas press conference?
You know what, Sid? There are so many things when you and I were together that we can't talk about, okay? But that one was one of the all time at the Isaiah Thomas press conference. Oh my God!
I got to tell you something.
That was one of the great moments of all time.
This is one of the great moments of our radio program. Having you, Joe Beningo, back on the air on the Bernie and Sid Show. Joe, thank you so much, man. Enjoy your retirement and come back, will you please?
Guys, all the love.
That was a great spot. Great spot. Go out there and shoot a 78 today. What a brilliant spot. The legend himself, Joe Beningo. And listen, we're not nearly done. We got Diamond and Silk coming up at 9:05. Keep it right here. An amazing Wednesday edition of Bernie and Sid.
Don't ever question my loyalty to the New York Jets.
Get an ugly girl to marry you. Back in the Bernie and Sid Show. Diamond and Silk coming up in about 7 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it right here.
Final hour. Today's Wednesday edition on this gorgeous, sun-splashed Wednesday morning in New York City. Bernie and Sid Show. Joe Beningo of WFAN fame just rocked the New York City airwaves. There was nothing on, I promise you, nothing on anywhere in this city that compared to that conversation with Bernie, Sid, and Joe Beningo. And that's going to be the case now, too. As if Joe Beningo wasn't enough. These two ladies have been on this show many times. We've met in person, actually at the old studios. They haven't been to the new studios yet.
No.
They work right across the street.
Right across the street. We're looking at their building.
Yes, Newsmax on Saturday mornings. These are two of the smartest, most entertaining ladies you'll ever meet. Back for another visit here on Bernie and Sid, our friends Diamond and Silk. Diamond and Silk, good morning, ladies.
Hello, ladies.
Oh, good morning. Thank you all for having us.
Ah, no, we love you to pieces. Listen, how's this Biden thing going for you?
Listen, he's talking about build back better. Look like he's building back backwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what everybody needs to see. It's a sad situation. I will never have any respect for these people after what they did in 2020. My theory is this. If they all took an oath to uphold our Constitution and swore on the Bible to do so, and constitutional laws was broken, and nobody says nothing, everybody looks the other way, I will never have respect for them. He may be y'all president, but he'll never be mine.
I like what I hear. Diamond and Silk, the host of Crystal Clear on Newsmax TV, Saturdays 8:30, Sundays 3 o'clock, Mondays 6 a.m. in the morning, and Tuesdays 1 a.m., Diamond and Silk from Newsmax. Diamond and Silk, Joe Biden, he really did not have a good performance overseas the last 3 days. Now he's meeting with this killer KGB guy. You got Mr. Magoo meeting up with, I don't know, as I pointed out, Darth Vader, for God's sakes. What do you make of all that?
Listen, Biden does not look like the leader of the free world. Maybe he's the leader of his own world somewhere in the basement. But he's not the leader of the free world. I think it's disgusting, and I think he looks pitiful. I think that this is elderly abuse. Who tapped him on the shoulder, installed him, and now look. This is a mess.
That's right. It's really disgusting, especially for this to be the United States of America when you compare him to our president, President Donald J. Trump. I mean, it's like night and day. It's really disgusting. This man looks so weak, I don't even think he can pull up his depends.
but ladies, wait a second. If Joe Biden happens to be removed or if he leaves on his own accord, what's coming up next is an African-American lady. You two folks should appreciate that, no?
Well, what's going to happen is, if that happens, everything is going to fall in her lap and she's going to be left holding the bag.
That's right.
When it comes out what really happened in 2020, she will go down as the most hated black woman in America. Now, they want to call her, they want to get all Diamond and Silk because you shouldn't do her like that because she's black. She's a black American. Let me tell you something. I will never respect her because Kamala Harris had black men locked up. Kamala Harris was at a gay pride parade. She was at a gay pride parade, but she didn't think enough to take her behind down there to the border. Flew over the border, but didn't go to the border to make sure our country was protected. Mm-hmm. That tells you where her mind is, where her heart is. It's not about America. It's about their agenda.
And real quick, Kamala Harris is not black or African-American. She's Jamaica and India.
That's
so
true.
She's a woman of color. But let me say it like this. One thing that the Democrats love to do, especially the white liberal Democrats, is keep the person of color left holding the bag.
Mm-hmm.
Notice that Biden got in and he created this mess. He created this problem. And then the next thing he did is tap Kamala on the shoulder to dump this mess in her lap. So now she's left holding the bag of mess that he created.
And she ain't fixing this bag of mess either. She's just mishandling
the how. They have no solutions at all. That's why she keeps giggling, looking like the Joker, and he's looking like the Stroker.
Yeah.
Very true. Hey, listen, yesterday the top law enforcement in the country, the Attorney General, he echoed what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been saying for a long time, that the biggest threat to this country, the biggest threat, as tens of thousands of blacks are being murdered in the inner city, the biggest threat is white supremacy. That's what we have to watch out for, like those January 6th protesters.
But the other week he said the biggest threat was climate change.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, so which one is it? Okay, and when you talk about white supremacy, you can't talk about that without talking about the Democrat Party.
That's right.
See, the Democrat Party was the one that brought in the KKK, the Jim Crow days, to intimidate, manipulate in order to dominate. So they need to talk about their own party when they talk about white supremacy. And thank you for bringing it up. There is black on black, black people killing up black people. Everybody is looking the other way. Nobody is saying anything about that. What is that called? Black supremacy?
Mm.
Because what is it? serious. What is it going to take for black people to understand you can't run around here killing your black brothers and sisters? Then you hear these governmental officials, even some of these ignorant black people talking about they want to defund the police.
Mm-hmm.
Then who's going to protect these people? And the ones that's talking about defunding the police is the main ones that will be calling 911 because they're need protection.
You know what's funny, ladies, is I watch you on Newsmax and you come on this show with me and Bernie and you're just great. You really are. You're fantastic. But I had a friend of mine tell me, who's a liberal and still a friend, I have to admit, tell me months back when Donald Trump lost, he said, oh, that's going to be the end of some of your buddies like Diamond and Silk. They're going to go away now overnight. I said, I don't think so. Those ladies are, oh yeah, Donald Trump is gone. They're going to be gone too. So guess who got the last laugh? You two ladies have, right?
Let me tell you something. We still have a book that's still selling.
Mm-hmm.
Uprising, Who the Hell Said You Can't Ditch a Switch, The Awakening of Diamond Silk. You can get the book at diamondandsilkbookstore.com. We have a show. We're not hiding behind a paid wall. We have a show on national television that we do every Saturday that we love. We are still out here in the fray because there is no way we can go and sit down when these people are trying to take away our freedom.
That's right.
Okay, we just can't. And the sad thing is, you know who's running our country? Who have our country under siege? The media and social media.
Mm-hmm.
They have taken this country, put this country under siege where you can't say nothing. Can I just say this here? Any corporation that's operating in the United States of America and deny people their freedom of speech, which is their First Amendment rights, should not be operating in the United States of America.
That's right.
Where is Congress? Again, they took an oath to uphold the
mm-hmm.
Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you allowing constitutional laws to be broken?
You tell them. Diamond and Silk, saying it like it is. Diamond and Silk, again, host of Crystal Clear on Newsmax TV, Saturdays at 8:30, Sundays at 3 o'clock, Mondays at 6 o'clock, and Tuesdays at 1 a.m. Diamond and Silk, Joe Biden and the G7 leaders, they really came out strong against China and the origins of this coronavirus. They want the WHO to investigate the origins of the COVID virus. And the WHO's buddy, Dr. Fauci, he says if you attack him, you're attacking science. What's up with that?
Well, flip-flop falsy, that's what he do. But the WHO don't need to investigate anything because as far as I'm concerned, in my humble opinion, they were in on it, too.
They've heard of
it. Bill Gates was also in on it, too, in my humble opinion.
Yep.
So they don't need to be investigating anything. What needs to happen, somebody need to do a thorough investigation on all of them, including falsy. How can you say you follow the science, but you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth?
That's right.
You're telling the world one thing, but then you emailing Mark Zuckerberg and all of them something else.
Mm-hmm.
This is the biggest. Listen, let me tell you something. Is this pandemic real? Yes. But everything surrounding this pandemic is what I call the scamdemic.
Oh, yeah.
They took this pandemic and they politicized it and weaponized it against we, the American people.
That's right.
No doubt. Yeah, we agree wholeheartedly.
Boycott the China Olympics. That's what I'm saying.
Ladies, what would you guys do with Chrissy Teigen? Would you cancel her? We're against cancel culture here, Bernie and Sid. To a certain extent, we've both been canceled at one point in our careers. We don't like to see that. We try to defend people who go through that, but we don't like her. What are your thoughts on Chrissy Teigen?
Well, I don't too much care for her either because she said some nasty things about us and haven't apologized. So if she apologizes,
is that right?
She hadn't apologized.
Really?
Is she going to just apologize to the liberals so that she can get her little gigs back? Look, I don't care whether they cancel her or not. I think that she's an ignorant person.
That's right.
That means just unlearned.
And keep in mind that what you dish out comes back to you.
Mm-hmm.
You may not pay what you owe, but you will reap what you sow. Let's look at everything that she's done now is coming back to reap right there in her little hen house.
Yeah, she's a very, very hateful person, is Chrissy Teigen. Diamond and Silk on the Bernie and Sid Show. Diamond and Silk, I have to tell you, the 2024 election is about 3.5 years away. But people are talking about it. You have Governor DeSantis down in Florida. I mean, he's really a rising star. People love him. And I know how much you and I love President Trump. But, I mean, let's say they run against each other. What do we do?
Nothing. Ain't nothing that we can do until they fix what happened in 2020. I'm telling you, I'm not worried about a 2024 or a 2022
mm-hmm.
when 2020 was a mess.
That's right.
How do you expect for the public to have confidence in our voting system and there were so many voting irregularities? People made up rules as they went.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
As long as there's corruption in the system, the swamp get to pick and choose who they want in any position.
Right.
We have to right our wrong about this 2020 election. We need to know what's going on with these audits and different things that's happening. We need forensic audits in all states. We need to see exactly what went on so that we can say, oh, we knew we was right. We can talk about this big old lie that happened. Yeah, we can move forward. You can move forward. But as long as there's corruption right there, they can pick and choose who they want
right.
in any position. How is it that in North Carolina, we are a red state with a blue governor?
Right. Now, we agree with you on that, too.
We got a pick governor.
Yeah. So I would ask you this, though. If DeSantis decides not to run, which I think he won't run, if Donald Trump runs, he won't run because he doesn't want to be anybody's second. He loves Donald Trump. He appreciates Donald Trump. He'll go back and be the governor again and run when Trump is not running. That's my opinion on DeSantis. Give me somebody else that you'd like to see. Maybe Tim Scott, maybe Kristi Noem. Who do you think would be a good running mate?
Listen to me. If you don't have enough manly man about you to stand up against these liberals, ain't none of that. It's not going to be worth it. I'm going to tell you. You got to have some kind of. It's almost like you got to have street smarts
yeah. mm-hmm.
when you're dealing with these left-leaning liberals.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you get in that White House and you go along to get along and you don't make the drastic changes that Donald Trump was making, none of that is going to do any good.
Yeah.
And when you talk about the people like the Tim Scotts and all of them, listen, they handed our country over to these left-leaning radicals.
That's right.
They certified this election without looking into some things.
That's right.
So how do you think we're supposed to feel about that?
Yeah. So I when I look at the ticket, I think that Trump and DeSantis will be a good ticket, even though a lot of people is speculating right now. I think it would be the best ticket. And, you know, Pence, that's a wrap for Pence. We will not be voting for him. Mm-mm. He don't need to be nowhere on the ticket. He needs to go somewhere and rock his grand
baby. That's right.
That's the bottom line.
Go run for governor of Indiana again or something like that. I agree with you on that. Hey, listen, you're right about the election audits. What the hell are the Democrats afraid of? Just have an audit. What are you afraid of?
And By the way, the rising
star in your state is the Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
That's his name. That guy is terrific. And people mm-hmm. are starting to turn, and Mark Robinson speaks out very forcefully against the defund the police movement and the Black Lives Matter movement and the reparations movement. He is terrific on that. What are your thoughts on him?
Oh, we love him. We love him. And see, I remember when he was out there campaigning, he did the grassroots work.
That's right.
We saw it. And people would be like, well, he only have a few people. But I'm telling you, grassroots make a difference. If you are running for something and you don't have the backing of the GOP or the RNC, what you need to do is do grassroots. Do the groundwork. Knock on doors. talk to people, because a lot of these people want change, but they don't know who to vote for that's going to make that change.
That's right.
You have to go out there and do the grassroots work, not walk, run around like a rock star, but go out there and do the grassroots work, and that's what he did.
And real quick, be cautious voting for the people that the RNC and the GOP put up in front of us. We want someone that's going to do the grassroots work and actually do the work for the people. Mm-hmm. Because when I look at the Republican Party, they just like the Democrat Party, one dirty bird with two corrupt wings. I want somebody that's going to be going up there to work for me, the American citizen. If our tax dollars pay your salary, then you need to be working for us, not China.
Yep, that's right.
Yep. Well said, ladies. Wow. Listen, we love you. Another incredibly epic performance during the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. You guys got to come back more often. Keep kicking ass on Newsmax. Good luck with the book. We love you guys.
Let
Thank
us
you
know
so
when
much.
You're in New York City, by the way.
Yes.
Certainly we will. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
All right. You love us, don't you? Admit it. You love us.
We love you.
We love y'all.
I knew it. You love it. Don't forget, we love you.
Check them out on Newsmax on the weekends.
Yeah, they're great. And Monday and Tuesday mornings as well. That is Diamond and Silk. Still to come. Beat Bernie on the Wednesday edition of Bernie and Sid. Oh, I just got another cameo. I got three cameos to do today. They love me on Cameo. Three of them to do today. One of them, the guy wants me to do with Bernard, actually. This guy says, please do this with Bernie. It's for a guy named Brad Wydell. Brad just retired as chief of Ramapo Police Department after 40 years of police service. Big fan of you guys. He protected citizens' rights during COVID, values the Constitution, sometimes takes heat for it, stands up for cops and law. He's a good man, and he wants you and Bernie to do the cameo together. So you'll do that, right?
Sure.
All righty. That's
absolutely
coming up. We also have Beat Bernie coming up, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Of course, they sponsor the game, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. If you want to test the shark-infested waters that Bernie gobbles up every weekday.
Hey, listen, I lose occasionally, so please call. Try to win that $100. But in the meantime, I have this piece of tape. I think it's interesting. This lady, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's controversial. She apologized for some comments she made. Her comments weren't nearly as bad as what Omar and the rest of these creeps say, but she apologized for them. Anyway, they were doing a press conference where some House Republicans on the origins of the coronavirus. And some fake newser asked them, aren't you guys feeding into anti-Asian bias and anti-Asian hate or something like that? Anyway, take a listen.
The China virus, you suggest that it's a bioweapon. There's no evidence of any of that. And we're also in the middle of a spate of attacks against Asian Americans. Aren't you just feeding that? Pretty irresponsible?
No, absolutely not. You're not going to turn this into something else.
Let's be real clear about something. I'm very disturbed that you would even ask that kind of question. Chinese Americans are not necessarily members of the Chinese Communist Party. And for you to associate the Communist Chinese Party with Chinese Americans, as you have done, I would submit is egregious and wrong. But with respect to bioweapons, ask yourself, America, this question. When we talk about gain of function, let's be a little bit more specific. We're talking about a dangerous virus being changed so that it is much more communicable, meaning people are much more likely to get it, and or it becomes much more deadly. Now, why would any country do that with a virus to make it more contagious and make it more deadly, if not for militarization purposes? And if you look at the Communist Chinese Party's background and its relationship with the military, it leads you but to one logical conclusion.
Wow, Congressman Mo Brooks, and would you put it past the Communist Chinese Party? I mean, that lab was also a bioweapons lab. Not just a virology lab, it was a bioweapons lab. So they were doing virology research as they were doing bioweapons research. I mean, of course, you connect the dots, ladies and gentlemen. Do not be stupid, gullible, naive, like the imbecile in chief that we have that's meeting with Putin right now. By the way, the headline on that is in the Daily Mail is this: Biden and Putin's showdown begins with a very awkward photo op. Joe says, quote, it's better to meet in person, unquote, as face-off begins with little eye contact, few words spoken, and aides telling press to, quote, go away.
What am I doing here?
So speaking of the lab leak theory, John Stewart actually almost caused Stephen Colbert well, to pass out. He actually said, in so many words, he said, Tom Cotton was right. Mike Pompeo was right. Donald Trump was right. This is what Jon Stewart effectively said on Stephen Colbert's couch, causing him really just to freak out. Anyway, take a listen.
There's a chance that this was created in a lab. There's an investigation.
A chance?
Well, if there's evidence, I'd love to hear it.
There's a novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan novel respiratory coronavirus lab. The disease is the same name as the lab. How did this happen? And they're like, a pangolin kissed a turtle. The only coronavirus we have is in Wuhan.
Yes.
Where they have a lab called, what's the lab called again, Stephen?
The Wuhan novel coronavirus lab.
I believe that's the case.
And now, how long have you worked for Senator Ron Johnson?
Let me tell you something.
So it's all a conspiracy. Even Jon Stewart's in on the conspiracy. But, I mean, I even said that months ago, actually. I said, what are the odds that this coronavirus originated in a wet lab, in a wet market, a few blocks away from where they're conducting research on, this virology, the research on transmitting viruses from animals to humans. What are the odds that it happened in a few blocks from that laboratory in the city of Wuhan? I mean, obviously, it didn't. It originated in the lab. That is clear. Yesterday, the top law enforcement, this guy who is equally almost as senile as Joe Biden, this guy Merrick Garland, who was nominated to be the Supreme Court Justice by Obama. Thank God Mitch McConnell said, I ain't putting that up for a vote, because this guy, he's lost his fastball. Plus, he's echoing the stupidity that Joe Biden spouts, this race-baiting crap.
Isn't a Supreme Court judge? The justice is John Roberts. Or am I wrong?
They're all Supreme Court justices.
Gotcha.
But anyway, this guy, this white supremacy stuff, this is all a hoax. White supremacy, this thing is, there are a few nuts in Oklahoma or somewhere like that, but it's a hoax. Don't listen to these people. They know what they're talking about. Tens of thousands of black people are being murdered in our big cities right now as we speak, and they're talking about white. Listen to Merrick Garland.
In the FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocated for the superiority of the white race.
Now, he said in the FBI's view to cover himself. The FBI, the same FBI that may have been infiltrated these pro-Trump groups and helped organize this January 6th riot to delegitimize claims that the election was a fraud, that there was voter fraud in the election, blah, blah. It goes on and on, folks. We talked about this a little early. I'm not going to talk about it now. But as far as white supremacy being a hoax, even people like Bill Maher. So you have the comedians. You have Chris Rock telling cancel culture to shut the F up. Excuse me. That was Kevin Hart. Chris Rock said it in as many words 2 weeks ago. Kevin Hart this week. And then also, you had Jon Stewart. The lab leak theory is valid. It's more than valid. It's common sense. You're stupid if you think otherwise. Pretty much is what he said. And Bill Maher on white supremacy and Joe Biden's claim that the United States of America in 2021 is the same as it was in 1921. Listen to Bill Maher.
Uncle Joe is pointing liberals towards something they need to be more aware of. They have a bad case of progressive phobia. That's the phrase coined by Steven Pinker to describe a brain disorder that strikes liberals and makes them incapable of recognizing progress. It's like situational blindness, only what you can't see is that your dorm in 2021 is better than the South before the Civil War. If you think America is more racist now than ever, more sexist than before women could vote, you have progressophobia and should adjust your mask because it's covering your eyes. In 1958, only 4% of Americans approved of interracial marriage. Now, Gallup doesn't even bother asking. The last time they did in 2013, 87% approved. An overwhelming majority of Americans now say they want to live in a multiracial neighborhood. That is a sea change from when I was a kid.
So it's guys like Bill Maher, it's the comedians that are going to lead us out of this woke supremacy culture that we have. Guys like him, Dave Chappelle, the aforementioned Chris Rock, Kevin Hart,
they've got
and
big
even
audiences.
Jon Stewart.
They've got big audiences. They got lots of supporters, lots of fans. They can do it.
And I'll throw in guys like Greg Gutfeld, who has a show at 11 o'clock at night on Fox News.
Yep.
He's beating Colbert.
I'm sure.
Beating Fallon.
He's better.
Beating Kimmel. and it's right. It's right leaning humor and conservatism is what it is. But it's funny. It's lighthearted. We have to recapture. We have to take the culture back. We can't cede the culture to these creeps because it is so influential. If you cede the culture, you're gonna lose the country.
All right, fair enough, folks. 1-800-848-WABC. That's the number as always. 1-800-848-9222. Once again, at stake, as it is every morning, a $100 gift card and your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee, the official sponsor of the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. We need a contestant for Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers Beat Bernie. We will take that contestant right now.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Tim from the Bronx is today's contestant on Beat Bernie, retired NYPD, another hero. Timmy, good morning, pal. How are you?
Good morning, Sid.
Thank you for your service, my man. I really appreciate it. We all do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sid.
Were you in the Bronx? Is that where you worked?
Yes, that's right. The 4-0, the 4-2, and the 4-7.
That ain't no picnic, is it? Right?
No.
Well, Timmy, best of luck to you today, and thank you so much again. God bless you.
Thanks, Sid.
You're welcome, pal. Number one, who went from being Barack Obama's White House chief of staff to the 55th mayor of Chicago?
That would be Ron Emanuel.
Very good. Shortly after taking office, Tim, President John F. Kennedy established what international service program, which provided international social and economic development assistance?
That would be the Peace Corps.
Yes! Nicely done, Tim. Who was a founding father, the fourth president of the United States, and the last living signer of the Constitution?
James Madison.
Yes! My mother, my sisters, Chuck Schumer, Bernie Sanders, my cousin Norm Coleman, all went to James Madison High School in Brooklyn. He's 3-for-3, Tim. You're playing very, very well. Here's number four, buddy. In 1992, Betty Boutroyd became the first female holder of what office in Britain's House of Commons?
Just repeat that again, please, Sid.
In 1992, Betty Boutroyd became the first female holder of what office in Britain's House of Commons? I think Boris Johnson had this position once, too. Yeah.
Speaker of the House?
Yes! Oh, Timmy from downtown. And in your attempt to go perfect, what is the capital of the beautiful country of Jamaica?
That would be Kingston.
Oh, my. Look at this.
Wow. On the ball, Tim.
On the board.
They got the water up there in the Bronx.
Wow, Tim in the Bronx. Timmy, I'll put you on hold. Bernie's got to get them all right, or you get $100 and a coffee mug. That is an incredible job. Bernie, best you can do is tie today. He went 5-for-5.
Wow.
Yeah, smart guy.
Very impressive.
Former cop, super guy, too. So, ready to go?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, Bernie, number one. Who went from being Barack Obama's White House chief of staff to the 55th mayor of Chicago?
That was Emanuel, Rahm Emanuel.
That's right. Shortly after taking office, President John F. Kennedy established what international service program, which provided international social and economic development assistance?
I'd have to say the Peace Corps.
Yes. Who was a founding father, the fourth president of the United States, and the last living signer of the Constitution?
Washington, Adams, Washington, Adams, Madison, Monroe.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax.
Incorrect. Madison is the actual answer. He was the fourth president.
Washington, Adams.
Jefferson.
Jefferson. Oh, right. Yeah, I'm all right.
Even I got that. And I'm stupid.
Hey, listen, I've known it all my life.
I know.
It's just one of those deals.
Well, this guy just won, but let's finish the game anyway.
Very good. Well, I'm glad he did. He's a former
big-time
NYPD guy.
In 1992, Betty Boothroyd became the first female holder of what office in Britain's House of Commons? Same position that Boris Johnson had at one point.
She was the the leader of the Tories.
Come on. Speaker of the House.
All right, she was the leader of the party.
Yeah, she was the Speaker of the House of Commons.
Okay.
All right. And what is the capital of the country of Jamaica?
Kingston.
Yes. 5-3, your final score today. Tim, a retired cop out of the Bronx, is today's winner. Timmy, congratulations.
Very good, Tim.
Thank you very much, Sid. Thank you, Bernie.
Not at all. Thank you, and thank you for your service, Tim. You're up in the BX. Tell me where, Woodside or Bainbridge?
Morris Park.
Morris Park. I know it well. I used to live down there in the Monroe Projects. You know where they are.
Oh, you're very familiar.
Yeah, the 43rd Precinct. And where did you work, if I might ask, Frank? Or Tim,
I worked in the 4-0, the 4-2, and the 4-7.
Well, and you're out? How long have you been out?
9 years.
Enjoying your retirement?
Very much so.
I'm glad to hear it. The Bronx back to normal somewhat, the Morris Park area?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, some other areas, you know, not so great. But, yeah, thank God.
Well, listen, you played a great game, and, how long? You've been retired 9 years, so therefore you spent, what, 20 years on the force?
29.
29 years. Wow. So you've been through some hell.
Have you? The worst day, of course, was 9/11.
Wow. Look, did you go down there that day?
I was there, yeah.
Damn, you are a hero. My God, no. I'm so glad you won. I mean, it's the least we can do.
I know. Timmy, congratulations. You're a super guy, really a nice guy, a great contestant. Enjoy the $100 and stay in touch, okay, pal?
Very good. Could I just add one thing?
Sure, please.
I was listening this morning. You were talking about Ursula Andress.
Yes.
And she was in Dr. No.
Right.
It was Honor Blackman that was in Goldfinger.
Right.
That's
right. You know, Push the Goals in Goldfinger.
It's so
that's
funny.
Right.
That's exactly.
Joseph Abood sent me that text earlier that Bernie was wrong.
And my wife texted me at 8:10. Carol.
Same thing?
8:10. She Honor Blackman played Pussy Galore in Goldfinger. Right. Right. She just died at 94.
She died a couple of months ago. Carol is right. And I believe she had dark hair. And Ursula Andress, of course, was a blonde bombshell. Anyway, Tim, great job. Thank you so much.
Sid, thanks. Keep up the good work, guys. Listen every morning.
God bless
you.
Thank
you so much, Tim.
1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. We'll close it out the way we do each weekday. That is on the phones with you folks. Your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid is next.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
Take the last train to Clarksville and I'll meet you at the station. You can be here by 4:30 because I've made your reservation. Don't be slow.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. That's how you reach us on the way out. Here's Robin in New York City. She's online, too, this morning. Hi, Robin.
Sup?
Hi, good morning, guys. Love your show. Listen every day. Sid, I wanted to know how your dinner went with Ava last night.
Yeah, I brought it up in the 7 o'clock hour. It went very well. Thank you. We went to Serafina on 105th and Broadway. It was emotional at times. She's not leaving for college until next year, but she'll be gone all summer between South Carolina, Pennsylvania, and London. So it was, you know, she's 17. I said to Bernie earlier, I said, there were times throughout the dinner where there was no conversation. It was kind of awkward. She's looking down at her phone. She's Snapchatting. She's talking to her boyfriend. You know, when she was a little girl, we were very, very close, me and my daughter. And I couldn't get her to be quiet at the table. She would be talking. Last night, she's 17. A couple of moments of awkward silence. But thank you for asking, Robin. Overall, it went very, very well. I'm proud of her. I love her. And
that is so
she's
sweet.
Leaving.
So sweet. She's leaving, but she's coming back.
She's coming back.
It's a happy occasion, Sid Rosenberg. Do not get, morose and whatever the word is. Just be happy, cheerful. Come on.
I'm happy for you.
It's a beautiful thing. Look, the headline in the New York Post is this. White House in damage control mode after Biden fumbles cringeworthy Putin summit. So apparently it didn't go so well. And are you surprised? I'm not. Not in the least. And also the second big headline at NewYorkPost.com. John Stewart's epic COVID-19 Wuhan lab leak rant goes viral. So it's the fact that he's essentially saying, as I said before, Trump was right, Tom Cotton was right, Mike Pompeo was right.
That sounds so good.
And it made it almost gave Stephen Colbert a heart attack, as I mentioned earlier.
Stephen Colbert, one of the greats. I mean, people still watch that stuff at 11:30.
I know, right? I can't even believe.
Do they watch it?
No.
I'm never up, so I couldn't
Like
tell
I said,
you.
Greg Gutfeld beats all of them.
Wow.
Greg
that is
Gutfeld. Hey,
Gutfeld beats Jimmy Fallon.
He beats Jimmy Fallon, I'm telling you. He gets Fallon, by the way, they get like 1 million viewers these days.
That's it?
1.3 million, 1.4 million, something like that.
What does Andy Cohen get in the clubhouse? Bravo. See, that's earlier, though. That's 10 o'clock, I think.
Yeah.
11:30 is really late. You know, Wendy Williams was on Seth Meyers last night. My friend Wendy, she was on Seth.
He gets even. He gets less ratings than you know, cable access shows.
What time is he even on?
He's on at 12:30.
Losers.
Remember when he effed up the White House Correspondents' Dinner a couple years ago? Like, he really effed it up.
He's one of the worst mutts on late night.
Yeah.
You know who I love? Who's in the hood here is Bo Dietl.
Yeah, why is he here? What's going on?
Bo Dietl.
He was here yesterday. He was magnificent on our show.
He just stopped by to get some coffee or whatever. Yeah. But he's such a great guy. I can't even tell
you. I love him. He looks great, too. He's tan. He's got nice tie, yellow shirt.
I touched him, his arms yesterday again.
I know, they're a rock.
He is like a, I cannot believe this guy.
I know,
And he doesn't spend time in the gym.
No.
I mean, he does some push-ups and he hits the heavy bag.
He's lucky. He's just built that way.
But he's just a freaking bull, this guy.
He doesn't have a clue.
And he's not 35 years old to be that hard in the arm area. It's very impressive.
Bro, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, bro. Joe Beningo loves Bo Dietl, just so you know that. Here is Artie on Long Island, line one. Hello, Artie.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hi. I'm as perplexed with this white supremacy thing as you guys are. Like, who the heck are they talking about?
Yeah.
And I think it dawned on me that this white guy who eulogized the Ku Klux Klan is talking about Trump supporters.
Yeah, he's so
and
right.
This white guy that Kamala Harris roasted at the Democratic primary convention is that same guy who is telling us we're white supremacists.
Yeah.
Like you said, where are these? There's no answer.
It's a hoax. There is no answer. I'm not perplexed. It's a hoax. It's something. It's a ruse they're using. They were shocked when Donald Trump got so many black votes. They were just absolutely appalled by it.
And you ain't black.
And so they pulled out the race card, and man, are they throwing it around left and right and left. And, of course, after the George Floyd thing, the overreaction to it, all that stuff.
That was it. Here is Bobby. He's in the great state of Florida on line two. Hi, Bobby.
Sid, Bernie, how you guys doing today?
We're great, buddy. How are you?
Very well. Just ditto on everything everybody ever says about you. But I turned on WABC.com last week just for a little bit. Sometimes I listen on the app. Sometimes I turn it on my desk. But you guys had a video going, and it was like a beta version of video. I don't know if it was for the whole entire day or what it was, but I've been wanting to call in and say that's a phenomenal idea.
Oh, the streaming.
Oh, it's basically a simulcast. Like you were seen years ago, Mike and Chris on the Us Network or the morning show for FAN on the CBS Network. That's what we're doing here. We literally work inside a radio/TV studio. We're simulcast every day on the website.
Yeah, it is cool. I don't know if we were today, but
not today.
They were experimenting. You know, one thing I didn't mention, speaking of viral videos. This video went viral of this guy on a bike in San Francisco. He's on a bike and he's filling a he's in a Walgreens. He's filling a garbage bag full of merchandise while the security guard stands there with an employee. The security guard says, "Should we call 911?"
What a disgrace.
The security guard says, "Well, they won't come." And the guy just drives off with his bike from inside the Walgreens with the bag of stolen goods.
Fantastic.
Right past the security guard who just kind of smashes the bag, but he keeps going out the store with the bag of stolen goods, which is why they closed 17 Walgreens in the city of San Francisco because they're a bunch of woke morons.
If you ever been to Boca Raton, Florida, years ago, Don King used to have his offices out of Palmetto Park Road, and it read, "Only in America." That story.
It really is. Unbelievable.
We're done for today. We hope you enjoyed the Wednesday edition. Big Thursday edition coming up tomorrow from all of us. O'Halloran, welcome back to all of you. Enjoy your sunny Wednesday.
And Matt
until
Meany,
tomorrow.
Have a great vacation.
Oh, yeah, Meany, we're going to miss you. We love you.
Yes, we are.
Going to miss
Ryan's
you guys.
Great, though.
I
all right,
kid
pal.
You not. I will
see
be back.
See you tomorrow. Peace.
Peace.